Executive Sam Page has said publicly that his pick to be the next police chief in St. Louis County was Lieutenant Colonel Troy Doyle. But the Board of Police Commissioners selected Mary Barton instead.
Well, today, Doyle filed a lawsuit claiming Page told them to pass him over for the job because campaign donors didn't want to see a black man become chief. Our Christine Byers lays out the explosive allegations.
Lieutenant Colonel Troy Doyle was one of several candidates to become St. Louis County's next chief of police. But in March of 2020, the job went to Mary Barton, who became the county's first female police chief. In a lawsuit filed Wednesday, Doyle sued the county for racial discrimination and retaliation.
This case represents, I believe, systemic racism.
Doyle's attorney, Jerome Dobson, says his client was passed over because he's black and because several top donors to County Executive Sam Page's campaign didn't want a black police chief.
In the history of St. Louis County, they have never had an African-American police chief. They had a golden opportunity to have a superbly qualified candidate serve in that capacity, and we don't have it.
In his lawsuit, Doyle claims Page was struggling to get campaign donations and says Page told him that his supporters were giving him, quote, pushback because of Doyle's race. He says Page even admitted their views were wrong, telling Doyle he was, quote, shocked by their comments and, quote, would have thought he was living in the 60s.
One of the potential supporters asked Page, what are you going to do about the black guy? And they hoped Page didn't make him chief.
But the five-member Board of Police Commissioners ultimately decided they would pick Barton to lead the department over Doyle.
He allegedly had the backing of the county executive. And yet when all was said and done, when the police board went into its private session and came out, they somehow came out with Captain Mary Barton as the next chief of police.
The county executive has said publicly he has no control over the police board and what they decide. However, a phone recording that Doyle's attorney released last year seems to dispute that.
This police board will do what I tell them to do.
Page also appointed four of the five board members. Christine Byers, Five on Your Side.
This all follows a discrimination complaint Doyle made last year with the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission. That paved the way for him to file today's lawsuit. We've reached out to St. Louis County leaders and County Executive Sam Page after the lawsuit was filed. They had no comment.
Actually, in this country, we get very little reporting, really, about about how corona is affecting the African continent. What is it, how is corona actually reported on the African continent in America? You know, what is there anything reported about corona on that continent, or is it zero?
But be that as it may, even if we are wading through some of these uncertainties with respect to the vaccine, one thing that I think we can agree on is that ultimately, whether it becomes an annual jab, one kind of that's followed up with boosters and the like, there is likely to be a continued effort to quell the impact of COVID-19 and its particular variants and potential strains that are coming in the future through a vaccine. You would have heard in the representation or the presentation given by the Department of Health yesterday, I think it was Professor Mahdi who indicated that it seems from their studies that coronavirus is going to be with us for the foreseeable future of our lives. That means we need to establish some form of guardrail for certainty within our working environments. Professor Hugo Pienaar is the Director of Employment Practice at Cliff Dekker Hofmeyr and joins us to help us understand some of the considerations they've undertaken with respect to your rights and responsibilities in that regard. Professor, welcome to Breakfast with Refibo. Thank you so much for joining us this morning. The legislation is obviously not set in stone or even has not even begun to be tabled. But what are some of the considerations that Cliff Dekker Hofmeyr is considering with respect to potential mandatory requirements from companies?
Morning, Refilba. Thank you. Well, as you correctly put forward, is there's no specific legislation governing the issue at hand. And what we essentially have is we have two opposing rights. Of course, the collective and the individual, and no right is absolute. So in considering what, in listing what the employer should consider, and the employee should consider are, of course, opposing rights. So On the employer side, they have the duty to provide employees with a safe working environment. Fellow employees have the duty not to endanger the life of fellow employees. There's a duty to mitigate job losses. There's a provision in the Employment Equity Act that allows for medical testing, and all of that from the employer's side. And, of course, that will always determine if the employee refuses to what extent the employee services can be terminated and on which ground. On the other hand, we feel where we have the rights of the employees, the constitutional rights, and as I've indicated, no right is absolute, but there's the right to equality, the human dignity, security of persons, but also in the Section 15, the freedom of religion and opinion. And all those rights will come into play for the employer to consider before it imposes that compulsory vaccination at the workplace. Obviously, personal circumstances and the circumstances of the employer, area in which it operates, and all of those will come into play.
So I found it really fascinating, some of the considerations that you took into account in this report. You know, as you rightly say, the collective right to be able to continue to trade, you know, with some form of stability for a corporation, and of course to keep other employees safe. Is there any likelihood that one could base this kind of legislation on, for example, the requirements to wear PPE? Or to sanitize? I mean, can that not be extended towards the vaccination? Or do things start to get murky when we're talking about putting things in your body versus on your body?
Well, one must have all those precautionary measures in place before you even consider making it compulsory. And for that, for instance, you look at PPE. Can the employees work remotely? How many employees work in a particular workspace? All those precautionary measures should be put into place. And only once you've done that will you consider, the as an employer, the possibility of compulsory vaccination.
I mean, this comes down to the crux of many of the debates that are out there at the moment, where people are, you know, screaming for the upholding of individual rights not to have to, say, wear a mask or frequent public spaces. And I guess in a corporation, and I know that's against government, but in a corporation's case, it comes down to there is some choice in an employee opting into a corporation and its rules versus, you know, having to be forced to comply with rules that are applicable to a nation that you don't really opt into, you're kind of normally born into.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And, of course, the employer, it has to safeguard the life of every employee. And it's all about saving lives. And in that context, you will have the collective as a, against the individual, and which should weigh, which should be the heavier one if you start weighing up those different considerations and opposing rights. And my sense is that once the employer has put everything in place necessary to safeguard, and the only option is compulsory vaccination, and the employee refuses, then the rights of the collective and the rights of the employer will be the overriding factor, subject to a few exceptions.
Let's think about what sectors this might play out in. I mean, I'm just thinking, obviously, the number of employees exposed to the public, the range of vulnerability of employees. Let's think about, you know, public service spaces or even private schools, maybe an industry in which maybe the average age is a little bit older. What kind of sectors do you think will be most impacted?
Well, healthcare would be the first. Because their exposure is so great. Then any sort of industry where there's exposure to the public at large, because we must remember that if you knowing as an employer, allowing an employee to work and somebody from outside is exposed, and of course it's difficult to prove, then there's that further risk of vicarious liability. All of it is of course also to protect the employer, but if you protect the employer, you protect jobs. So that transcends then into this whole issue of what we've seen many companies closing down temporarily or otherwise, and that's ultimately affecting the life of that particular company, so to speak, and it might ultimately close down, leaving a lot of employees without employment.
Can we talk a little bit about what kind of grounds one might have to refuse the vaccine as an individual?
Well, that could be your personal circumstances, i.e. your own medical circumstances, where you might be more vulnerable than the average employee. With regard to your own immunity, taking some sort of anti-immunity tablets or whatever, medicine. Then, of course, there's the issue of culture and religion. But we've seen in the past where those cases have come before the court that you can't just raise, for instance, religion as a matter of principle. The question is it a genuine tenet of that religion? So the courts will unpack that if you want to use that as a defense, bearing in mind that no such right is absolute, and Section 36 of the Constitution says that.
Out of interest, final question, Professor Pinard, what about the opposite situation where I work for a corporation that refuses, for example, to make this mandatory, and I feel at risk? You know, what do I do then as an individual where I feel, you know, my company is putting me in quite risky situations and I feel that they should make this a compulsory thing, or my, either for my colleagues and I or for me to be able to face the public?
Yeah, that's a very good point, because as an employee, I'm entitled to be to safeguard the life of my fellow employees and vice versa. And those employees may ultimately, after considering all those factors that we've listed so far, say to the employer, I cannot come to work unless I'm sure that unless you ensure my safety. And by not having compulsory vaccination, you're not doing that. In fact, you're in breach of your duty to provide me with a safe working environment, and I will not come to work. And if you terminate my employment, that may be an unfair termination. Or if I resign, it could be a constructive dismissal.
Ah, okay. Interesting stuff there. We'll keep watching what Cliff Dekker-Hofmeyer is coming out with. Really do appreciate this insight, Professor. Professor Hugo Pinard is the Director of Employment Practice at Cliff Dekker-Hofmeyer.
Many Americans will be waiting for a while to get a coronavirus vaccine, including some frontline workers, people like grocery store clerks or bus drivers. Many are Black or Latino and have been hit disproportionately hard during the pandemic. And now some are pointing out that they should be getting the shots now. Sam Dancy works at a Westwood Village QFC in Seattle. It's a grocery store owned by Kroger. Sam, welcome.
Thank you very much. Good to be here.
Good to have you. And you're a front-end supervisor who manages workers checking people out at the grocery store. So let me ask you, do you feel safe when you go to work?
Honestly, I want to say not 100%, maybe 50%.
Why?
Well, because, first of all, number one, we have a mandate that says that no one should enter the store without masks. Unfortunately, we have some people that disregard that mandate. And it just seems like there's always too many people in the store that just doesn't pay attention to the six-foot rule. Another reason why I think a lot of us probably don't feel safe, because the plexiglass doesn't extend as long as it needs to protect a lot of the associates that are actually checking. And we have not got the vaccination. I think maybe those of us that want to get the vaccination, if we had it, we might feel a little bit safer. I had associated this with going to war, because COVID-19 is like fighting a war. And until they give us all the proper weapons that we need to be able to fight this battle, none of us are going to feel as safe as we have been.
So let me ask you, Sam, you haven't gotten a vaccine yet, but do you have any idea when you will?
No, I don't know as of yet. I'm hoping really
no
soon.
Idea.
They had an itinerary that said maybe February the 3rd, I was in the classification that might be able to. But unfortunately, they haven't been able to keep up with the demand. So we're still waiting.
All right. So make the case. Why should workers like you working in a grocery store, why should they be given priority for a vaccine?
Well, we're on the front line. You know, at one time we were considered heroes. I guess we're now zeros. Also, too, you know, that would make a lot of us give us a better peace of mind. All of us, since we have to go to work under these conditions, they should make these available to all the grocery store workers. If Safeway is getting all these vaccinations next week, Safeway is also part of our Local 21 union. They need to make sure that all the associates that work at Safeway and maybe QFC, the pharmacies, make sure that the associates get their shot so that we're taken care of.
Well, you say we were heroes, but now we're zeros. I think that's – I'm sorry that you feel that way. And I understand you're actually talking to us right now on your lunch break. You're taking time to do that as you're working. So thank you very much.
No problem.
I also want to ask,
I had to go into the bathroom, unfortunately, because the break room, I can't sit here and expect the associates to be quiet. because that's their break room as well. So hopefully we'll be able to entertain this interview without any more disruptions.
Well,
in the background.
Well, that's going above and beyond, Sam. Thank you. So I just want to finally ask you, it must be, or you tell me, is it emotionally exhausting to deal with that uncertainty? Because we've been in this pandemic now for almost a year, and you're going to work every single day, unvaccinated now, not knowing whether or not today is the day that you're going to get COVID.
Exactly. And, you know, not only is that detrimentally physically, but it's also detrimentally mentally. I've been working here since 91, and I started working when the pandemic started. There was a brief time, May 20th, I remember, and it was funny because I couldn't breathe. And the first thing that I thought is that, oh, no, I got COVID. Well, it turned out that I had a bacterial pneumonia. I came back to work after 3 weeks. So I'm happy about that. But that gave me a wake-up call. So when people sneeze or people have a cough, that's the first thing from a mental standpoint that we think, do we have COVID? So that's why it's mentally unsettling.
I'm sure. Sam Dancy works at a Westwood Village QFC in Seattle, a grocery store owned by the Kroger chain. Sam, good luck to you. Stay safe and let us know if and when you end up getting a vaccine, okay?
I sure will, okay? Thank you very much for taking the time to give me the opportunity to have this platform to speak out for those that don't have the opportunity to speak for themselves.
Sam, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
And let's get some more context now. Richard Besser is former acting director at the CDC and president of the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation, which is an NPR funder. Doctor, welcome.
Thanks for having me, Peter.
And when you hear that story of a frontline worker like Sam Dancy, who doesn't have a shot yet, and yet is still going to work every day and is worried about it, what do you think?
I hear him. You know, I think that it's critically important that we recognize that while every community is being hit hard by this pandemic, the burden of this disease is not being felt equally. And those people who need to leave their homes every day to earn money to pay the rent, to make sure that everyone else has food on their table, we need to do all we can to protect them. And when you look at the recommendations that the Advisory Committee on Immunization Practices gave to CDC, and you look at the recommendations that came out of the National Academy of Medicine, what they said was, after you provide vaccination for healthcare workers and those people in long-term care facilities, that next group after that should be those over 75 because of their great risk, and essential workers. That means people working in supermarkets and teachers and people driving buses. And one of the other reasons that they made that recommendation is that this pandemic is having a disparate impact on Black Americans, Latino Americans, Native Americans, and a disproportionate number of people of color are in jobs that put them at risk every single day, frontline workers.
So maybe this will be a slightly controversial question, but is there an argument that could be made that those frontline workers that you're talking about should actually have always been at the very front of the line, or at least higher in the line, because they are the ones who are going to work every day? And even elderly patients who would be at high risk for this disease at least could stay home, or many of them could stay home. I mean, these are people out literally on the front lines.
Yeah. No, you know, the second group that was recommended was over 75. And what we're seeing in many states across the country is that there was such a push to how many people are you vaccinating every day. Once that becomes the driving factor, then you leave behind those people who are harder to reach. And those are the people who are working all day. Those are the people who can't go to a clinic 9 to 5, may not be able to spend several hours a day looking for a place to get vaccinated, may not have access to broadband. And it takes a little bit more work to get the vaccine to people who are truly in need. You know, the inclusion of people over 75 isn't what's making it so inaccessible to people who are on the front lines. It's a failure to put in the resources to build the systems to meet people where they are. And that is a reflection of decades of underinvestment in our public health system. And it's a reflection on who in America we value and who we do not.
So, you know, I was going to ask you why you think it has taken so long to get to these workers. Is that the answer?
Yeah. You know, if you think about some of the challenges, vaccinating healthcare workers is one of the easiest groups because you can use healthcare facilities. You have people there who are trained to administer vaccines. Getting it out to community clinics is harder. Nursing homes, there again, you have a captive audience, and you can at the state level recognize where those nursing homes are and figure out how to get vaccines to them. But then it gets harder, and you think about, well, how do I reach people who work in supermarkets? How do I reach people who are driving buses? And you have to think, okay, we need different systems. We need mobile clinics. We need phone banks. What would it look like if in America we had a grassroots effort to get people vaccinated, to reach people, to address their concerns for people who have concerns, and we reached people where they were with vaccines? And when you think about the impact of this pandemic, you know, frontline workers, many are more likely to live in households that are multi-generational. There may be someone at home who's at greater risk. So I think that we need to make frontline workers a priority. While we've been able to see that schools can open very safely without vaccination, why not move teachers up in line so that teachers feel more secure in the classroom teaching, so that staff who are working in schools feel more secure and are more secure?
Well, and we have been speaking with both teachers and school superintendents who are starting the vaccination process right now. But that does bring up the issue of, I don't want to say slippery slope, but maybe, because there is a finite amount of vaccines that are available right now. And you could argue that some people are definitely classified as a frontline essential workers and others may not. So where does an Uber driver fit in, for example? Where does an electrical plant worker fit in, or even a reporter at a news organization who has to go out and speak to people outside of the home? Where do you draw the line on frontline workers?
Well, I think that it's really important that there's transparency and openness around the process. I didn't see that when the decision was made to increase vaccination in so many states to people 65 and older. And what we've been seeing in report after report is people from wealthier neighborhoods coming in and taking up appointments in clinics that serve lower income communities. And that's not a fair and just system. When it comes to, well, what occupations should be considered frontline, again, the Advisory Committee on Immunization Practice, the CDC, has a list. These are just recommendations. I'm a doctor, I'm a pediatrician, but I'm not currently seeing patients. So I didn't get vaccinated along with healthcare providers. I'll get vaccinated when my group is called. You know, the miraculous thing is that 1 year into this pandemic, we have two currently approved vaccines that are going into people's arms. And hopefully within a period of 6 months, there'll be enough vaccine for everyone who wants it. But in the interim, we need a system that is fair and just. What we're seeing is a system that is anything but that, where the disparity by race in terms of vaccination is growing and growing. And there's a false narrative that it's because people of color don't want the vaccine. The vast majority of Black Americans, Latino Americans want to get vaccinated, and the systems aren't meeting their needs.
Richard Besser, president of the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation and former acting director of the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. Dr. Besser, thank you so much.
Thank you, Peter.
Weekly Forum, Neutralizing Workplace Racism. Hopefully we will have a constructive thought or three to help victims of white supremacy solve problems without creating new problems. Black History Month, so they tell me. I'm sure some tacky celebrations are going down in the workplace. I wrote out, try to avoid being involved or snookered into any of those activities if you can help it. It is very, very common during the course of this month, for especially now, right after all this Breonna Taylor and George Floyd, like, might be anything, you know. We'll have a commemorative flapjack luncheon, and we'll bring in some of the old-fashioned Aunt Jemima syrup bottles, and that'll be a part of our discussion, and we'll dialogue about the stereotypes and the hurtful images in a system of, what is it, systemic racism. They might do that sort of thing, like real talk. You know, we'll bring in the Aunt Jemima bottles and, you know, all of that. Watch an episode of Step and Fetch It. If that happens in your workplace, one, you can share. But two, as I said, try to avoid participating or being snookered. If they got some sort of committee or group, or they want to talk about a potential project and they just got to have NIGRA input, like, don't care if it's on Zoom, in person. If you're going to be compensated, and I mean well compensated to do this, I guess that maybe would be something to consider. But often It's not even worth the compensation. It's triple T all the way. Doesn't get any better than tacky. Anywho, neutralizing workplace racism. Before we get to the callers, the segments that we heard at the beginning. Now, we started out, I only know that the news from KSDK, I only know that that exists. St. Louis on the Air, St. Louis Public Radio, all of that because of the murder of Michael Brown Jr. I just continued to check the St. Louis news sites because it was checking them every day when all that was happening in 2014. Wild to think it has been 7 years. Anyway, so I check KSDK, and it's the report that we heard Colonel Troy Doyle, black male. He's thinking he's about to become the department's first black chief of police. And I mean, hey, 7 years after the murder of Michael Brown Jr., like, hey, time is right. We did all that marching and burned down the Quick Trip and everything. Like, let's go, Colonel Doyle. Let's do it. We'll get a good photo op and everything. Make sure you keep your mask on. We'll social distance. And they cancel that out and instead promote a white woman. And they have that in the report. Captain Mary Barton. With a lower rank, no less. Emphasis. Lower rank. They talk all that about meritocracy and all the rest of it. I think we even had some black people on the program who had the audacity to say that white women are treated just like niggers in the workplace. We've had white women come on and say that. We've had victims of racism come on and say that. No one benefits more from affirmative action. Marsha Clark, Hillary Clinton, Mary Barton. She was then captain, now chief. Mary Barton from a lower rank. But they in that report said, what are we going to do with the black fella? What are we going to do with him? We don't want a nigger here. I mean, he's probably go out and strong arm robbery, you know, sticking up people for cigarillos and all the rest of it. We don't, you know, want another nigger in charge. Got to find somebody. Don't we have a white woman, white man, somebody, somebody's cousin, nephew? Let's go that route. Once again, black male privilege. Even in the air of all this social justice and reform, can't even get a promotion. We talk about that, I think, from time to time on neutralizing workplace racism, non-white people not being able to get promotions, even when you are qualified, sterling record, you've been on time and all of that, and still they find some way to give the job to a less qualified individual. That's why we have neutralizing workplace racism. Now, we heard the next two reports were both dealing with the COVID-19 situation in some way. We heard one segment about South Africa, which is interesting. So much of the continent, this has not been a big problem, even though they have had lockdowns and all the rest, but they just haven't had all the rates and deaths and all the rest of it that we have here in the States and many other parts of the world, except for South Africa. It has been a big deal in South Africa almost exclusively. So you heard the report there and them talking about, is it going to be compulsory to get this vaccination? And they were talking about it and they said, hey, it might end up weighing on the side of for the greater good. Yes, you'll have to go ahead and get the vaccine because it's beyond just you and, you know, we'll all have to do it. Now, this is a majority non-white country, mostly black people. I thought, wow. Wow. Are they? I don't know. We'll have to see if we can get some folks in South Africa to chat on the Global Sunday Talk next time. Just to see, like, do they have people that are protesting over there and saying, oh, no way, I'm not doing this. We've had, you know, many guests on from South Africa before, just to see, are they protesting? Are they furious about this? Like, do they have, you know, armed people out in the street? You know, we're not going to take it, and banding militias around the concept of refusing? Or are they saying, yeah, let's do it. Let's hurry up. You know, we don't want to mess around. Like, I thought, just for comparison's sake, to see how they're dealing with it in the workplace on a different continent in comparison to here, the second report. Now, that was here in the U.S. Now, you heard there, same thing that we talked about previously, not having access. We had four different reports for the so-called U.S. last week on the compensatory call-in. Seattle, the New York area, Chicago, California, and it was the exact same. It was Seattle, California, the South, New York, and in all of those places, it was the same thing. Vaccine distribution sites were either not in areas with large numbers of black people, or even if they were, white people were coming in sometimes from out of state even to Bogard and take those vaccines, even if they were meant for the black people who actually live in that zip code. We heard four different reports talking about varying degrees of that last week, compensatory call-in. That second report, or the third report that we heard today, talking about the same thing, that you have a lot of non-white people who are in these positions. They work at the grocery store. They even mentioned QFC. I had several like workplace racism reports, so I was trying to decide which to play. And of course, once they mentioned Seattle, like, oh, I got to play that one. That's me. Then they specifically mentioned QFC. They don't have Kroger's in the Seattle area, but they have those QFCs. I grew up on the East Coast in the South, so I was accustomed to seeing Kroger, but they have goofy QFCs here, although they do have some Kroger products at the QFC. But anyway, once I heard that, I was like, oh man, the QFC. And so you heard them talking about they not feeling safe, people don't comply with the rules, they don't feel like they have enough personal protective equipment. The plexiglass doesn't extend enough. And this is in Seattle, right? Lots of white people, well-to-do white people and all that. And even here, the grocery store workers feeling like, man, we are not being taken care of. We're not even at the front of the line, as they say, for the vaccines. He said the same thing for Safeway. I don't know if they have Safeway out in other parts of the world, other big grocery store chain here. They have those in California. But he said, like, yeah, like we should be, you know, trying to band together, get our local union, see if we can get vaccines for the workers at least. Like, this is ridiculous, which I would probably be saying the same thing. Like, they spent all that time. Remember, I said that they were doing all that tackiness last year for a year now. They would come outside at like 7 in the morning and bang on like a skillet and be like, oh, we love our nurses and essential workers and woo. And you can't even get like a vaccine, you know, or a grocery card, a gas card, anything. Just, oh, we love you. Hope you don't die today. Hopefully we won't call the police on you if you're a delivery driver. Hopefully we won't call the police or threaten you if you should happen to block our driveway for more than 5 minutes. Pretty sure the delivery drivers, along with the QFC workers, are not at the front of the vaccine line. I could be misinformed, but that is something, as I said, we probably everyone in the world will be looking at how all of this is going to impact policy and procedure in the workplace. I had a different report. They're already starting with the lawsuits here in the U.S. about these vaccines. Are you going to make me take it? Am I going to get fired if I don't take it? Why aren't you making everybody here take it? I think it should be mandatory, like all of that. The lawsuits have begun. So it'll be interesting to see how those are decided and how that impacts policy and procedure for the workplace. I've strongly advocated the entire time, really be alert, especially if you work for a company where they have an electronic policy and procedure, where they try to be current, and so they might make updates on a regular basis, maybe weekly. Check your policy and procedure. Like, do not let them slip anything past you, not one comma, particularly if it's anything about safety protocols, notification, vaccine, sick days, anything that will be to your benefit or changes in policy, furlough, all of that. You want that information immediately. Check it 3 times. Make sure you don't have any questions. It shouldn't be vague, because that has been a problem during this whole pandemic when they have these changes to policy and procedure, it being not the clearest. That way they can have discretion, because it doesn't make sense. You don't know what to expect as an employee. Number is 720-716-7300. The code 564-943-pound. Press star 61 if you would like to participate. Number again, 720-716-7300. The code 564-943-pound. Press star 61 if you would like to participate. You can share that we are broadcasting live for Neutralizing Workplace Racism. Share it on social media if you're on Twitter or TikTok, any of your other platforms, Facebook, Instagram. Share, let people know we are broadcasting live. If you think it would benefit victims of racism to get information about neutralizing workplace racism. All of that said, the email, untiljustice@gmail.com, untiljustice@gmail.com. You can read your thoughts, observations, or suggestions. Keep it anonymous if you have concerns about being identified. With that few observations I wanted to share, this one happened to folks that I know, unfortunately, so I will make sure that I share. We talk so many times, we have what idiot that says sobriety would be best under conditions of white supremacy. Hear that often on this platform, particularly in the workplace. I would say especially now if you're Zooming, if that means you get to work at home, I would not be under the influence. If you're Zooming it or just doing your work hours while you are at home, just you never know when there might be a surprise Zoom call or a phone call or something where you might have to talk and you do not want to, you know, be under the influence and not able to present in a professional manner in the same way you would if you were on the job. Certainly, if you're in the office, they may make allowances for the holidays and such. We just survived all of that, thankfully, where sometimes it'll be, you know, you can have, you know, some sort of eggnog with rum in it or whatever for the holidays or Halloween or whatever, even the Super Bowl sometimes, if you're in a work capacity. And I would really caution against all of that. You don't want to be around your coworkers. I wouldn't even want anyone that I work with, white or non-white, to have that sort of leverage on me that, you know, they witnessed me in any capacity, even if every other employee at the company was under the influence, that they witnessed me drinking so that they could have that, like, nope, teetotaler all the way. But I bring this up because victims that I know, one of them, he's about to go on vacation, right? So he's, you know, great, spectacular. I just got to finish my work up today, and I am out of here going to have just a grand old time. So he is working, and his schedule, I guess, is he just has to work late, finish up his duties, and as soon as he's done, he's on vacation, right? So he's not really, he's working, but he's not on a clock per se, right? Like if it's about 5:45 Pacific time, so it's not like I have to work until 8. It's just I'm working until I complete these assignments. So I just want to try to get through that. And then as soon as I'm done, whew. Another victim of racism is starting her first day of work tomorrow. Okay. So they're cool. They're friends. Again, the male, hallelujah. All I got to do is get this stuff done. Vacation, the female. My first day of work's tomorrow. I'm not working today. I'm just, you know, stopping in, kick it, blah, blah, blah. Excited. We'll see what happens tomorrow. So the male says, hey, I have an idea. I can, you know, hire you to help out. You can, you know, help me get through some of this work a little bit, make a little bit of money. And then we'll get through even quicker this evening. Or he'll get through because it's vacation time. Get through even quicker. No harm. No problem there. Make a little money. We can kid it up. They're all friends. Whoopee. The problem, and they're all victims of racism, so whoopee all the way around. The problem, alcohol comes in. Hey, we're working, and it's late. You know, it's 6 o'clock, 7 o'clock, whatever it is. And everybody else is gone. Workday's done. It's just us. Let's, you know, have a drink or two while we're getting it done. That way it'll be, you know, like we're chilling, having a good time, and getting our work done. Now, you would think, ostensibly, no big deal. No problem, right? Unfortunately, the work lasted a few hours, so that ended up translating into a few hours of alcohol consumption. That ended up a little bit more than tipsy. For one person, they're going to vacation, so that's not that big a deal. As long as the work is done in a competent manner, no problem. Have fun on vacation. I said the other person starting first day of a new job the following day. What happens when you don't go to bed in a prompt manner? You end up being a little bit beyond tipsy, staying up maybe a little bit later than you thought. How does that impact one's first day on a new job? In this instance, it translated into a non-white person showing up way late for their first day on a new job. Now, thankfully, this victim wasn't fired. Thankfully, but I mean, hey, I know a whole lot of instances where that sort of thing happens. This is the first day on a new job, and you waltz in here 3 hours late. And the excuse or the truth of it might have to be, ooh, sorry, got a little tipsy last night. They might be reposting that job opening. That's what might happen in a whole lot of instances. You heard Colonel Doyle, he wasn't even intoxicated and he didn't get the promotion. So, I mean, hey. Fortunate, or I guess, I don't know, it depends on how you look at it. It worked out in the victim's favor that her boss was homies with the drinking pal. So he was able to vouch that, hey, the person to blame here is all me. I was a horrible influence on your employee. Like, she was in working extra and all the rest of it, excited about her job, and I just corrupted her and blah, blah, blah. And, you know, that was able to smooth things up. But I mean, woo, can you even, let's say that works and, you know, your boss knows, oh, yeah, this is a no count shiftless, you know, drunkard. I know he does this sort of thing. He's a bad influence. Stay away from him. Let's assume that, okay, I take that and I will not have this reflect poorly on you on your first day. We'll start with a fresh slate. But I mean, woo, who wants to start a new job like that? And with that sort of stress as I'm trying to build a rapport with someone on my first day, I mean, really? Sobriety would be best. I would encourage never, that should just be bedrock policy, never consuming alcohol on the job with coworkers. None of that. It's just not a good look. Next, being on time. Think I just said something about that. Ooh-wee. I'm so thankful I'm not on the East Coast. I've been told that they're having big snowstorms and or have had large snowstorms over the past few weeks, months, whatever it is. I would encourage folks, stay warm. Make sure you have plans if that means having a generator and whatever backup things that you need to make sure that you are safe, secure from race soldiers and the elements, water, all the rest of it. That said, like Mr. Fuller, he has that segment. He was on the program before where he talked about how in winter months, like now, some race soldiers, they already know we are going to fire a certain number of non-white people because it snows. We know, you know, where we are, it snows 3-4 times every winter. And unless you have four-wheel drive and are experienced in driving in the snow and or have your own transportation or whatever it is, you are going to have major problems getting here on time. So we already know when they come, you know, oh my gosh, and dusting off and snow and I skidded across the ice 2 hours later. You've been here 2 hours late. That's the fifth time since December. And I know it's snowing and everything, but we can't have you here. And that's one easy way that we can get rid of folks. Really be mindful of that. I talked to some of the victims who are in some of those colder areas, and they had spectacular plans in terms of leaving a little bit earlier. Obviously, it's always great when you can think about this ahead of time for your job. So it's not that I'm taking a job that's an hour drive through the mountains and crevices and footholds, and I got employed in August in the middle of the summer. Now I got this job in December, and it is a whole different ball game, this hour commute in the wintertime. Like, hopefully it's not that sort of scenario, but really being mindful about that. Just to navigate things as safely as you can, if it is dangerous, if you are someplace where it snows and what have you, and where you can still be about the business of being on time, so that that doesn't become an easy excuse. They can do you like Colonel Doyle. So, oh man, we were going to give you the promotion, be the first black chief, but it seems you were late about five times over the past 15 years, so... yeah, we're just going to give it to old Miss Barton. We'll try next time. Being on time, even in the winter months, definitely something I would encourage for counter-racist code in the workplace. If you do not have your own transportation, then that is definitely something to codify. That means you have to have, you know, a ride or... you know, whatever it is to get there, but definitely see if you can get that taken care of in advance. If I could just add an extra one on this, right? So some folks in work environments in these winter months, right, for some places, and I've worked in environments like this before where you might be a so-called essential employee. So you might have to come physically to the job. This can't be a remote thing. Some people have got to be here physically. So to entice, you get here or whatever it is, you get here and be like, oh man, we have food. You know, don't worry about it. We'll make sure that you eat. We'll have it. Spare ribs and, you know, pork chops and triple bacon cheeseburger sandwiches and Lay's potato chips and Ritz crackers and all the rest of it and Haagen-Dazs ice cream. All the rest of that stuff you can skip on. The Haagen-Dazs ice cream, like, oh, okay, I'll behave. I'll be here. Double shit, no problem. But man, that is not the way to go. You do not want to be in a situation where you are confined to a workspace and you did not plan to have food, where you might be stuck there because of the weather or something else, and then you're trapped and you don't have quality food or water to drink, and you might end up being there, you know, 10 hours, 12 hours or something like this, or even longer, God forbid. Try to think about that in advance so that you're not sitting there like, oh man, am I going to have to eat this half eaten bag of M&M, peanut M&Ms? Am I going to have to, you know, woof down these Kit Kats or, you know, whatever other nonsense, go see what they got in the vending machine? Because I didn't plan on being here all day long, so I didn't bring all of my scrumptious fruits and veggies and the rest of my, I didn't, you know, bring all of that. Try to think of that in advance. If you're in one of those workplace scenarios, for all of our folks who are down in Florida and Texas and other locales where that sort of thing is unheard of, well, bravo for you. Make sure you're not eating in the workplace. Number again, 720-716-7300. The code 564-943-pound. Press *61 if you would like to participate. Email untiljustice@gmail.com. untiljustice@gmail.com. Again, we can keep it anonymous if you have concerns and want to make sure that you are not identified, but have content, thoughts, suggestions you would like to share. I taught yoga this morning. Dr. Ruby Lathan, hanging out doing yoga. All black students, great class. Got to talk to some of the students afterwards. And I have neglected updating my yoga resume to reflect the latest information. That's something that I have encouraged lots. Keep your resume up to date, polished, because you never know. you might want to use it. And then marketing yourself, marketing your brand. That's something I will concede the Rona has disrupted that greatly. That's it. I have not really done a lot in terms of marketing my brand. It's been so, you know, unsettling having to cancel our Toronto retreat and then not even being able to get all of our participants in D.C. and not even planning any more retreats and not even, you know, really thinking too much about teaching yoga in person just because of, you know, all the cooties and such. But still think it's important to market your brand. I'm talking about myself and, you know, everybody else. Marketing your brand or brands if you have your engaged in multiple endeavors. Marketing your brands and promoting what it is that you are doing and letting people know about your skills. Talents, super important. As I said, I know the last year has been an astronomical disruption to all of that. For everyone in the known universe, for lots of reasons. That notwithstanding, to the degree that we can, try not to lose sight on everything. If you have ambitions, career ambitions, we had some of our listeners talking about starting their own businesses and things. In the midst of all of this, as best we can, stay focused on that. Maybe that's one way that we can invest some of our, if we have any extra free time or at least more time at home, that's one thing that we can be doing, spending some time. I think Mr. Fuller calls it maybe in the ingenuity room. How am I going to grow my brand business? Maybe even if your business is counter-racism, growing that. If you don't have a brand or business, then you can invest time thinking about one. *61. If you have thoughts, observations, I'll share more as we proceed. I'll make sure to check the emails as well. First, few folks who dialed in, if you have observations, if you have updates on the safety protocols in your workplace, that is always grand to know. And or if you have other thoughts, observations, problems, suggestions, first few folks with a hand up, proceed. Let's see. Took me a moment, sorry. Getting it together. All right.
Can I be heard?
Greetings, Bay Area Mom in California, previously mentioned.
Thank you for taking my call. I was listening to some of the clips, and then I was thinking about here in California, they were talking about giving the grocery, the people that work at the stores, some kind of extra pay. I forgot what they're calling it. Hero, maybe a hero pay, or I guess maybe like $4 or $5 an hour extra for coming to work. And they were, some people were trying to sue the stores that were stating they were going to do that. And other stores, because we do have lots of Safeways here, other stores are laying people off instead of, or maybe they're laying them off just to be able to pay the extra $5 because they've made so much money with, because they're the one of the ones that were open, the grocery stores. They've been open since the pandemic, so I'm sure they could afford it, but I don't think they really want to pay because maybe they don't really look at them as heroes. It's just something that you're just telling people they are heroes because they're delivering your stuff. My workplace racism. So picked up another client because I'm full-time but only working. I work under 20 hours, but I'm literally full-time. They sent out something asking how many hours did you want to work? I want to my full 40 hours. So got this client. They're not far apart. It's 3 days a week after the other children that I have. It gets dark when I get off. So here, I get off maybe 6:30, so it's dark. I don't travel far, but they think I do, so they don't care. I have them pay me drive time and mileage because if not, I wouldn't be working there. That's just how it doesn't work out economically. So 3 days a week, that's fine. Then I get an email, can you do five? I can do five. But on Fridays, I get off in the morning. I only have one client in the morning. So on Friday, they have me scheduled from 4:30 to 6:30. So let's say I get off at 11, then you want me to come back from 4:30 to 6:30. So they removed all of that and just made it like maybe 3 days a week. So the Mondays and Wednesday, and I was fine with that. So then I get another email on Monday. Or some maybe set. I don't know, whatever it was, I got an email asking, okay, so can you still do Thursday and Friday? So I didn't answer. So then they asked, well, can you at least confirm that you can do the day that's in your calendar? I can do the day that's in my calendar, but that's it. So then, well, can you at least meet up with me 15 minutes before? Sure, I can do that. You pay me to do that. Of course I can come there 15 minutes earlier. So I come, and she's talking. I think she looks Caucasian. So, hi, you know, we really need 5 days a week. Now, mind you, there's already someone that comes to the girls' school. It's got to be a faraway school, so whomever goes to the girls' school, which is way far from her home, but they come and work with the little girl at the school, and then they figure she needs more because she's 4 years old and she is not talking. So I guess they really want to get this girl going and talking and stuff. So they want afternoon sessions as well. It's really overwhelming for the 4-year-old. Because she already has school, then she has an aide from my company at the school, and then when she comes home, here I am. And it's dark when I leave. Very creepy for the little girl. So the supervisor did the first day with me. She stayed 2 hours. So she's asking me, would I be willing to do Friday? I said, no. I said, I get off at 11 o'clock. That's no way in the world I'm lingering around until 4:30. Oh, really? Where are you coming from? Really doesn't matter. There's a 5.5-hour window. I'm not doing that. Well, maybe if we change to make it earlier, would that help? Sure, you can make all of them earlier. Make them all make sense. And so I have a 2-hour window in between clients just to accommodate this one. So I'm glad I live close because that wouldn't work for me at all. I would literally be lingering around until what time I'm supposed to visit. Now, mind you, keep in mind, since the pandemic, we're only allowed 2 children in real life. I don't know what just changed to where there's more than 2 children now. I have 3. So she's really pushing for this 5 days a week. So I thought I could do 4 because I already have one in the afternoon. I could do that, but there's no way I can come back out after 12. I'm not coming back out. So she said, I'll ask the parents, and I'll check with scheduling. So she asked the parents, and that doesn't even work for the parent because whatever this child has to do, she's already has some kind of eating food therapy because I guess they were trying to get her to eat different foods. So the poor child has all kind of crap going on throughout the day, and then here I am at her house. So Friday's not going to work. Friday will never work, and I'm not going to be able to help them. So she said, well, if not, then I could just have the other girls. Maybe she can come to the house. Maybe she can. I can. So I just think it's interesting how the rules change when you need to bill the insurance for whatever these services are, because I might get a couple of dollars, but they get thousands of dollars for these sessions from the insurance and the copay. So I just want to talk about that a bit, because I just find it interesting that it's safe enough for me to go so they can get this money. But originally we were only supposed to have two clients, and then you're trying to inconvenience me for a couple of dollars more. I just don't need a couple of dollars more. And on top of that, I'm going to block my Friday to where I'm closed after 11, because I'm tired. When I do get off, I notice I've only done 2 days this week, and I'll do 2 days next week, and then my three kicks in thereafter. I'm tired when I get in. I'm tired. I fall asleep in the chair. It's awful. So I'm trying to. I'm sticking around for this because I want to. I'm trying to do other things to prepare myself to transition out of this whole thing. So I'm studying for my exams and stuff so I could pass them and situate myself to where I can get up out of this, because they're not concerned about my safety. They're just concerned about the money they can make from me not having a job or maybe needing a job. And thank you for taking my call. I'll mute my line.
Much obliged, Bay Area mom. Safety first. Above and beyond everything else, safety first. Now, our Bay Area mom, she's been sharing with us for a while. When she spoke with us last week, I think I was saying, and I suspect I may have said it more than that, but I was saying, like, man, the organization where she works, they're working with these children, and it seems like they're doing a really poor job. Like, I don't really hear her, you know, maybe I've missed them or my memory's bad, but I don't hear her chiming in and be like, wow, they are just doing amazing work. Like, we got this little girl and, you know, she was not communicating. She was not verbal at first, but I mean, wow, she is speaking, you know, Spanish and Hebrew and Swahili. And I mean, wow, she is counting. And I mean, she has just made leaps and bounds. It is amazing. Like, that's not what she's calling in to share about. Like, I've not heard any of those. Like, they don't care about the children. Somebody says that. They don't care about the children. They don't care about the staff. Like, they're just trying to get their money. And probably white women, if I had to guess, probably most of the folks who are in charge at this organization. So I just echoing again what I said last week, like, I'm so, so glad to hear you prioritizing your health and safety and saying, you know, I'm not going to kill myself for a couple extra nickels. Like, everybody needs a few extra dollars. Lord knows, Gus T, everybody else. But I mean, hey, I am not going to be getting off and continuing to emphasize. It's going to be dark, man. It's wintertime. Okay. I mean, she's not in Massachusetts, New England, or someplace, but it's still dark. I wouldn't want to be getting off 6:30, 7 o'clock at night, especially a female, and it's all dark, and I gotta try. Man, forget that. Come on. Like, if you want me to do all this extra work and come in and do 5 days a week, then look out for my health and safety. And then she mentioned on top of that, the protocols, you're only supposed to be with two children. Now it's, hey, come on. 5 days a week. Let's go. Forget all that. We can get this money. You said that consistently. You have to be the person who is really looking out for your health and safety. And that means that applies in so many different ways. Like, how many clients am I going to work with? You're not going to pile 10 clients up on my list if we're only supposed to be working with two clients per week. That counts in so many different ways. You're not going to come out here and just have throw any old type of schedule at me, like saying, oh, I come in and work this way, this day, I work 4:30 to 6:30. Then you want to come back in at 11:30. Like, come on. I am not a slave. Like, you can give me a regular schedule that treats me like a human being so that I have time to rest, to recharge, to get to and from work, where it's not, I'm just a robot that can be jerked around here, there, blah, 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 so you all can get all this money. Like, it's so pitiful. Like, I think that's black self-respect to say no, because I think so frequently in this system, whatever it is, if it's a work schedule or doing more work, extra work, coming in, you know, twice a day, whatever it is, I think so frequently we are afraid to refuse anything from a white person, especially a white person in a workplace setting. That's how a lot of that rape and sexual harassment comes in. But I think that's so important. Just know, having boundaries, having standards for your safety and well-being. No, I'm going to be getting off too late. I'm going to be getting off in the dark. Have to get that changed if I'm going to do it. If not, I'm not going to be able to take that shift. Nope. Think I'm already working enough hours, going to be a little worn out, looking out for my health and safety. Just for whatever the reason, saying no, super important, black self-respect in the workplace. I also thought it was important because she was talking about the grocery store workers down there at the Safeways in California and saying how, as opposed to giving them the hero pay or whatever they're calling it, hazard pay, some of them just said, oh, no, we'll just lay off, you know, some of these folks. We don't need all these extra employees. Like, whoa, I thought didn't y'all just go bang on the skillet, say I was an essential worker. Now I'm laid off as opposed to giving me my hero pay. Like, heroes to zeros. That's exactly what they said in the audio segment we played at the beginning. Let's see. And I guess anyway, it would just be the same thing about working on my exit strategy. Like, I would take any extra hours that's to your benefit, that, you know, if that's going to be suit your schedule, they're going to reimburse you for your mileage and all the rest of it. Fantastic. But I would still be, I'm going to be getting my exit strategy together, get my resume polished up so that I can get out of here. I don't have to deal with any of this nonsense anymore. Find a better plantation for me. They can mess over these children with someone else. Let's see. Much obliged, our Bay Area mom. Thank you kindly. Stay safe. Stay safe in California. Number again is 720-716-7300. The code 564-943-pound. Press *61 if you would like to participate. Other folks with us.
Can I be heard?
Retired firefighter in Florida. Two folks who are not concerned at all about bad weather.
Right. It is around here about 75 degrees. Yes. Just a warning to everyone, you know how holidays do infiltrate into the workplace, so be prepared. I believe that day that is called Valentine's Day will be on Sunday. The only reason why I know about it is because I'm supposed to participate in a quote-unquote family, Zoom. And somebody mentioned it. That's the only reason why I know about it. It's supposed to be on a Sunday, but I'm pretty sure on a lot of people's workplace there is going to be some sort of motivation to have to engage into discussion on the subject matter. It may be a talk about chocolates or something. Just be prepared. If that's something that you do not participate in, to find a sophisticated way of avoiding the conversations so you can continuously concentrate on your workplace relevancies and get through the day. Yes.
Much obliged, retired firefighter. That one is big. I think our caller at the courthouse in Florida I think last week he was already saying that they were having, you know, disputes over, we got to put the hearts, you know, up on the plexiglass. Now, the plexiglass was supposed to just be there for, you know, health, safety.
Oh, that's right. I remember that.
Keep the Rona at bay.
I remember him talking about that.
Yeah. Now we got, oh, wait a minute. I got to put the hearts up on the, what I just say. We get, we are reluctant to say no in the workplace. And he was taught, my memory might be bad, but I think he was talking about all that. He said the black female, they had said, no, we're not doing the hearts, not doing Cupid and all that foolishness. Retired firefighters. Right. Not with Valentine's Day. And then the white woman got to put the hearts up. Hmm. All right. I guess we'll, which, and you know, that happens. VGQ, victims of racism. But I'm just saying that is a part of the conditioning. White supremacy, how we've been brain tanned. I mean, that's terrorism. Like, sometimes it's scary. Might not get a raise if I tell her don't put that Cupid up. You know, might not get my promotion. I go around here telling, you know, enough white people know in the workplace. So I totally get it. But even with all that, I'm good on Valentine's Day. They get talk about tacky because so much of that is around Area 8. Like, man, that ends up getting into something. They want to come and do some petting and feeling and hugging, and even the candy is real appropriate because they got the kisses, chocolate kisses, Welsing, Dr. Welsing, and they got the hugs and
nuts.
yeah man, like, I'm good on all of that. Like, I'm fasting. In fact, it might even be upgrade. I'm fasting, not eating anything. I don't want anything. I don't do any holidays. Like, I'm 7-day Abbott, or what's the other one where they go around and not, they don't do any of the holidays. Like, I do not celebrate anything, nothing. I'm not eating anything. I'm good all the way through. Hopefully, again, if it's virtual, that will minimize if we have people who are not like in a physical workplace. But man, I have seen where the Valentine's Day, it can get real out of control. Like, because they'll be sending flowers, and I guess maybe it'll also maybe be muted because it's on a Sunday as opposed to it being on a weekday this year. So I'm sure some people probably got some of that nonsense in today, and I'm sure there'll be some spillover into Monday. But hopefully it being on Monday will greatly mute some of the nonsense for this so-called holiday. But yeah, I mean, because they're, flowers are being sent into the workplace, and I've seen where people get mad because they didn't get flowers, and then the other person is mad because they wanted this type of flower and they got roses and not the yes. Woo, man, it can get real bonkers for Valentine's Day in the workplace, mostly because of white women.
Yes. That specifically on why I brought it up.
Indeed, indeed. Context of white supremacy. The number again, 720-716-7300. The code 564-943. Pound. Press *61 if you would like to participate. I even remember I had, was that Valentine's related? I don't know if it was Valentine's related. I have to think. I've had enough experiences with Valentine's in the workplace. Like, whew, that is definitely one. Be super codified. Careful about what you do. Careful about what you say. And that's one, hopefully by the time, right, if you've been working at the job for a while, you've already come through all the like major holidays like Thanksgiving, Christmas, all that other stuff. By then, hopefully everybody will know, oh yeah, he's, you know, Scrooge over there doesn't do holidays, right? You don't do that? Yeah, you didn't even, he didn't do all the rest of the stuff, so we'll just leave him alone. We'll go do our, you know, card exchanges and give out our candy and chocolate nuts and all the rest of the nonsense. We'll do that amongst ourselves, which is what you wanted to begin with. Other folks who dialed in with their hand up, comments, observations to share, proceed.
Can I be heard?
Right. We have all warm weather participants. So I guess if we have any folks who are in the cold and how that's impacted your workplace, you can share. Thus far, exclusively California and Florida. Rob, yes, sir.
Greetings, callers, listeners, and guests of the host. It's about 60 degrees out here right now, so it's pretty nice. I do have a brother in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, and I talked to him today. He was complaining about the cold weather, but he didn't leave on that it had impacted his work day in any manner. So interestingly, calling into the program today, I'm with T-Mobile, and so it is back to saying that this number is outside of my plan and a 1 cent a minute charge will be incurred when you make the phone call. And I was experiencing that for a while. And it had went away for a minute, and now it's back. So find that pretty interesting. This week was my first official week back to work. It went better than I expected. So that was a good thing. I did find myself feeling as though someone had taken the hours that I should have. And I quickly thought about what Mr. Millie Fuller says, like, you know, a person can't really give away anything that's yours. I believe something in that manner. And if anybody is giving it away, it will be classified as somebody white. So I got over that pretty quickly. I actually do work on Valentine's Day. And that should be interesting in itself. I'm working in a restaurant setting where it's only outside dining at this point in San Diego. And according to San Diego standards, the weather has been pretty bad. Like today it rained earlier in the day, but sun came out later. So on Valentine's Day, they're expecting it to be, well, I guess tomorrow and Sunday, the weather is expected to be pretty windy. I guess with some storms or whatever that's going on in the area. So that should make for an interesting day in itself. One observation that I do have surrounding the sexual connotation that goes on associated with Valentine's Day at work is it's a sign. It was a sign up last year, but I saw the management repost this sign like a couple days ago on Facebook, and the sign reads, I'll only enjoy your meat. I will only enjoy your meat or meats. And then happy Valentine's Day or whatever, whatever. But meats being spelled M-E-A-T-S. And yeah, so I thought that was pretty, I thought that was pretty unprofessional to be posted at the front door coming from management. But it is a restaurant that is quote unquote surrounded around like a hip hop thing. I think that's what makes it so popular. Like when it's a regular, when there's no restrictions on like inside dining, it's like actually like a club type of setting. Music real loud, you can buy drinks and, you know, you also can dine in. So one observation, so I do find the sexual thing to be like targeted at me sometimes because I'm the only black guy there. Right. So last week, it's a guy that non-white guy classified as Asian, but he, I would say he identifies with the hip hop culture to some degree. And so we working, and he was asking me about like some rap songs, or you know what I'm saying, something like that. And you know, for the most part, like everybody knows there that I'm pretty serious. I don't really like all that raunchy rap music playing, and I really don't like the music to be too loud because I think that distracts from getting work done. But so he says, referring to a black female's rear end, right? And he was like, a badunkadunk or something like that. He was like, ain't that what y'all call it? And I kind of looked at him, you know what I'm saying? I'm, you know, I didn't say much. My response was, I've never used that word, so I'm not sure. But I thought that that was, I thought that was very unprofessional, very tacky, and I felt like, I felt over-sexualized in that moment, you know what I'm saying? Like, and I get that a lot, like, people there feel like I'm supposed to live up to this hyper-sexual black male expectation. Which I don't. So I think they find that I, like one day the management, I had bought a book from Barnes and Noble's next door. So I came back in with the book, and this will be the last thing I share. One of the corporate managers, the management, one of the managers from corporate were down in the establishment, and I was coming back in with the book, and, he said, that's a refreshing sight. I'm like, what you talking about? He was like, to see a young person with a book. And that's all I have to report at this time. And thank you for taking my call. And I will mute my line. Thank you.
Much obliged, Rob in California. There, the other number does still work because I've heard from many people over the years where they've dialed in, it worked, and then for some reason it would happen where, now we're charging you a fee to dial into this, you know, radical Negro broadcast. The 720 number, I don't know if you dialed that one, but you can also still use the 605-313-5164. I'm not sure if you dialed that one or the 720 number to see if they are both charging. And there's also a free HD app as.
Okay, I'm sorry. I was trying to write the last number down that you said. Could you repeat that, please? I'm sorry to interrupt.
Yes, sir. 605-313-5164, and it's the same code for sure. Yeah, you can see, I don't know, you can see if that one will work. I guess other folks can try that too. If either they're not working, that's been the case for me sometimes, where I'll dial one and it doesn't work, then I'll try the other one and it works. 12 years, that's what it's been, 12 years of interference, regardless of the network, the number, 12 years of staunch opposition to the context of white supremacy. Much obliged for dialing in nonetheless, sir. We've had a litany of people over the years who have dialed in and talked about work environments where, like, what rap music is played in the work environment. Generally, that's a red flag to me, especially if we're talking about like uncouth. It's got a lot of profanity and what have you, violence. And in fact, if it had its violence, Gavin DeBecker, the gift of fear, like, whoa, like that should be, you know, unless you work in an environment. And I mean, that might be the signal. That's why I said it's a red flag. Sometimes you work in environments where, hey, we don't really care too much about policy and procedure, like unless you've broken a law. And even sometimes, even if you broke a law, like as long as you didn't break too many laws, that's all right. Long as we're not going to go to jail today, it's all right. So if that's the type of like, woof, that is saying a lot. And to me, when they are playing rap music, even if they do have, you know, rules and regulations, it's not a totally lawless environment. But just when they're playing rap music, like, ooh, I already know that that means there's going to be a certain amount of discourteousness, profanity, probably anti-blackness in the way that people talk, because that's so much of what is promoted in the music. So I'd be very alert. I would not use any like slang. I would be super professional in that environment just to make sure it's not something where they just get really comfortable and thinking that I'm the, you know, black guy that you can use all the Negro jargon and all the like, eh, professional, here to work, courteous, but no, I am not the homeboy in the hood. Nope. 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 Exactly. I don't know what you're talking about. I think last week, the caller in Florida, he said one of his colleagues was talking about, I think online, talking about her Ace Boon Coon. None of that. I don't know what you're talking. What? But don't what? What did you say? I don't know what you're talking about. I have never used that word. I've never heard of that word. I'll have to look it up when I get home. I've talked about that as well, especially if it's white people, even if it's non-white, non-black people, really, even if it's a black person, if they are professional in how they talk to other people, it should not be a total switch up. And then they go into all their nigger talk when they come and talk to me. And even if they do talk to everybody like that, because it's that type of environment, I still would not want them doing a whole lot of that talking to me. Like, we can be casual and courteous without all that, you know, you got to really show me how down you are with the Negro. We talked about this a lot before, and it's just the same. I've never heard anyone, not one person anywhere in the world, call in, write in, and say, oh man, I had such and such a book in the workplace, and you know, my boss saw me reading it, or my coworker saw me flipping through this, and wow, they were just so impressed that they made a note, and the next time I was up for a promotion or a raise or whatever it is, like, they noted, like, wow, I remembered, like, this, you know, this guy, you know, this lady here, she is reading and trying to better herself. And I mean, wow, I looked at some of the literature that she had, like, wow, that is a reading shelf. Like, that's someone that I want to be promoted. I know she has got some great ideas to help this company. I've never heard that. All I've heard is, ooh, what you reading there? You're reading Negra? I didn't even know we had reading Negras. You read? Wow, I thought all black people were illiterate. That's all I've heard. Different. And some of this, even personally, like what people have told me, but that's all I've ever heard. That and or they come and snoop to find out what it is you're reading and rifling through your packages and mail to get the book. So I strongly encourage folks, use discretion, like try as best you can to not even show any books, magazines, literature that you might have. Try your best to conceal it. If you have a backpack, if you can leave it in your vehicle, covering it, clothing, however it can be covered, putting in a bag of some sort. But I have never heard of one. I can't think of one constructive incident. In fact, I can even think of some where a black person saw a book that another black person had, they went and snitched to white people. That's in the archives, I believe, but that's the sort of thing I've never, it's not one time I can think of where a black person had a book in a work situation and something constructive happened. They used to kill black people for reading, you know. I'm glad Rob didn't have anything too, you know, dramatic to report, but just he didn't have anything good to say either. Like, oh, wow, that's wow. He got a young person reading. Wow, that's amazing. Now, even that, I would have to think now. would he have said that? Or I'll ask if Rob is still with us. Rob, do you think if you had been one of the other workers there, since you emphasized that you're the only black person, if you had been a non-white, non-black person strolling in with your book, do you think he would have made the same comment, or do you not have enough info to suspect?
No, I can answer. I think he would have responded different. It is a dominant non-white Asian establishment, and a lot of the like they are actually shocked when I tell them I'm a college student. Like, that'd be blowing their mind. But when I talk to them and they telling me what they going to college for, man, it'd be like biotechnology and, you know, going to be a chemist, or, you know, it'd be, you know, some pretty significant majors that they're trying to obtain. And I see numerous people with laptops and books and things of that nature. And I would highly suspect that he didn't respond to them the way that he responded to me. Thus, that's why I don't be seen with any more books. Thank you.
System of racism, white supremacy. And then, right, they'll come back and they'll go and they'll get that tired, lame Chris Rock segment from like 50 years ago and be like, oh man, you want to hide something from black people, put it in your books, because niggers don't read that. Chris Rock is great. What? And they'll laugh and laugh and laugh, and then when a black person does try to read, nothing constructive happens at all, even if it's other black people, even if it's other non-white people. If somebody does have a constructive experience in the workplace where you had a book, right, that was not really, it wasn't the policy and procedure manual, it was a book that you brought voluntarily from home, and something constructive happened. You got a raise, you got a Starbucks gift card, you got a compliment that was in no way, shape, form, not what they call a backhanded compliment. It wasn't something where you missed it and they were being insulting and it was just kind of veiled. Something constructive happened, even if it was between you and another black person. Like, they went and bought the book and came back and said, oh man, that was great. Thanks so much, my black brother, for sharing that book with me. Thanks so much, my sister. You shared that book with me. It was great. I shared it with everyone in my family. If you have that sort of workplace experience, please share. I love having a first for Black History Month in our 12-year anniversary. That is when we don't have a constructive experience with someone, a black person, bringing a book to the job. 720-716-7300, the code 564-943-pound. Press *61 if you would like to participate. Unfortunately, that is very common. I didn't want to give short shrift to Rob's comment about being sexually terrorized in the workplace, just in the way that they converse with him and what have you, because I suspect that's kind of common. We had a black male before. What I say, and it's kind of merging the two. We had a black male before, what they call white collar job, where they didn't play Snoop and Eazy-E and Drake all day long. White collar, everyone is dressed up, got their suits on, maybe even a 3-piece suit going to work. And everyone else, they'll be addressed. Good morning, Miss Johnson. Mrs. Richardson, Miss Jackson, good morning, good morning. And then when he gets there, hey, what's up, pimpin'? Are we running a brothel? Like, what is going on here? Why is everybody else, they got a name? I have a name. My name is not pimpin'. Why are you calling me that? Why? And see, the sexual component to it, that's what you think of me. I'm some sort of sex trafficker, you know? That's what I'd berate females and chase them around and go out there and sell them on the street. That's what you think of me. Again, this is a white collar job, right? I'm in here dressed in my suit, but super fly. That's what you think of me. Yes, that's what they think of us. Man, not all of us in the sexual component with it. I don't know if that'll be increased for Valentine's Day for that's why I said the chocolate and all of that. I am sure there are lots of those types of stories with chocolate being out. I remember we had a black female listener. She dialed in about those chocolates. She said she had a candy dish and she had like chocolate hearts in the candy dish. And I guess it was, you know, for her. And then if other people, her colleagues or whatever are there, like, oh, yeah, get some chocolate, blah, blah. And so the white guy comes by. It's like, ooh, like some of that chocolate. She says, oh, help yourself. Get it. Your bowl's right here. He says, oh, I didn't mean that chocolate. That would be one I would write that down immediately. Verbatim. Like, ooh, even if you don't, that's one of those, you don't even have to hand that in. Just get out your pad, some of that chocolate, help yourself. I didn't mean that date and time. And you can even show them, like, is that what you said? You don't have to contact a lawyer. Definitely, you don't need to contact human resources. Just document. And even ask him to sign, verify, like, did I accurately record what you said? Transcribe, they call it. Just being serious. I suspect that might be enough to totally shift behavior. But the main point of the story, sexualizing black people around food and these holidays and all of that, very, very common. Take it seriously. That's when I would try and cut it at the knees. But take that serious. Just, you know, not allowing people as best we can, trying to use words and things to speak up when people are doing those type of things to sexualize us in a workplace, because it is so, so common. Other folks who dialed in that we have missed totally. If you have a hand up, proceed.
Hi, Jess. Can I be heard?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, I'll try to talk loud. I have two questions. First question is this: how does one handle a situation where they are being asked to do something you're not qualified for? And my second question is, just to give you a little bit of background, I've been in the department for about a year, and prior to me being in the department, the manager before that, there was no oversight, so there was a lot of accumulation of equipment and things that should have been taken care of. So now that I'm in this new role, I suspect that eventually I'm going to be asked to take on like this project, huge project that is probably 5 or 6 years worth of accumulated junk. So those are my questions. Basically, if I'm not qualified to do something, what is the best way, I guess, best or professional way to decline or say no without it looking bad on me?
Let's see. I'll take that one first, and then we'll see if we have any other suggestions, and then you can repeat the other question. In terms of being asked to do something that you're not qualified to do, actually the first thing that I was thinking was training. If they want me to do this project and I'm not qualified to do this, can I be trained so that I can competently complete this task? That was, you know, what I was thinking, like, this is a training opportunity. That's what they, and you said they didn't have any oversight. So I don't know if there were training opportunities. Is that feasible for this? Is this something where you could get training so then you would be able to do this competently?
With the first thing, I do more clerical work. I'm an administrative assistant. I work in a department where they are like technicians, radio technicians, so they require certain certifications and certain classes. So it's not really something that one could really learn for from a class. It's very like a niche type of job, and you know, we deal with like a lot of public, you know, safety, and their devices have to be, you know, working, especially if they're in some type of emergency situation. And I've had a issue in the past where I've done something when I was asked to do something, and it didn't turn out right, and I kind of got talked to about that. So that's why I'm really hesitant, especially since it's something, you know, so far out of my job description.
Got it. Got it. Thank you for that extra clarification. I think for that, it's been my experience. That sounds closer to a lot of time setting black people up for failure and or setting black people up where they will get a good scolding or maybe get in trouble, where they have black people doing things that they are not supposed to do, which is almost what this sounds like. If this is something serious and this is about security and you're supposed to have certain certifications and what have you, like the person, whomever gave you this assignment or what have you, I suspect they probably know you are not the one that is supposed to be doing this. If this is like serious work, this is not making a peanut butter sandwich. Like, no, not just anybody can do this. Certain people who have certain qualifications and a certain skill set are supposed to do this work to a certain standard. Oh, yeah, I would just, you know, I think maybe an error has been made. This is, you know, beyond my skill set and pay grade. Yeah, I would just point that out. And again, I suspect the person who gave this assignment may already know this. I don't know if this was a situation where they were setting you up for failure or, you know, just trying to get putting you in another situation where you could get a talking to by someone, like you don't know what you're doing and you just messed this up and, you know, getting us off to a bad start this year, that type of thing. I feel like that happens to a lot of black people where we get put in situations where we are supposed to, that's all that can happen. Failure. Like that's, if I'm understanding this correctly, that's probably all that can happen here is failure. If you were to carry out this assignment, right?
Yeah. And then like I said, it's public safety, police, fire. And, you know, if they're in a situation and their device does not work, that there's serious, obviously, consequences to that.
Oh, yeah. Like I said, this is not making a peanut butter sandwich. Yeah, I would document that this happened to see if there's a pattern of it, or it might even be because I think she said this would be at least two times. So I would document the person who gave this assignment, date, if it's a written assignment, that's beautiful. I would photocopy or save the file and all that. And then I would just go talk to that or email and, you know, just point out that you are not qualified. This is a bit beyond your specified duties and skill set, and that, you know, whomever the appropriate employees, this is something that, you know, they should complete. And I mean, that should be that, unless you're mistaken. This is not something that you are supposed to be tasked with. I would just point that out, and that should be an easy. Oh, yeah. Our fault. And like that would be my suspicion. Like I could be totally wrong. But did the same person who assigned this have they done this before where you've been given an assignment where this is not your responsibility and not your skill set?
No. I think we have a new supervisor. Mm-hmm. The other one, he resigned, so things have kind of. We had a non-white supervisor, and now we have a white one now. So that's whenever it's kind of whenever this is kind of started, and I just didn't want to come off as insubordinate or have something, you know, marked against me in my file because. You know, as I said, it's a technical position versus more of an administrative type role. So, big difference.
Amen. Amen. Oh, okay. Well, then, yeah, if you don't believe there's anything nefarious, if this fella is new, white man is new to this job and you all are just kind of learning what things are going to be like with him, well, then it may have been a mistake. No problem. So, yeah, I would just let him know if it's a white man. I would just let him know that, yeah, this is beyond your skill set to make sure that this gets done in a competent manner, that, yeah, one of the other technicians should satisfy this assignment. And that, yeah, that should be an easy one. In fact, he should be thankful, like, oh, yeah, she's not going out here and trying to do more than she is qualified to do to cause problems for us. This is not making a peanut butter sandwich. What was your other question?
Yeah, this is the last one because I know there are other people in the queue. As I said, I'm new in the department. The department did not have any oversight, or the managers did not. And the people that were supposed to be doing their jobs did not for many, many years. And we have a new manager that is more hands-on, I guess that's the best way to say it. And my concern is, how does one handle a situation where you're almost going to, looks like, inherit someone else's mess? Meaning, you know, for all these years, all this stuff has accumulated, you're new in the role, and it's a great possibility you're going to have to be tasked with that. I mean, it doesn't seem fair to me, but I just don't know the proper way to navigate it because it hadn't, you know, it's, in short, they were supposed to, I work in like an electronic radio type department. A lot of devices become antiquated, and those devices are supposed to go to like an asset disposal to like a warehouse. We work for a city, so you can't just throw things in the garbage. Instead of them doing that, they were taking all these electronic parts and just throwing them like in a garage. So it's probably like 5 or 6 years of stuff that has just been sitting back there. So I don't know, you know, how to handle that. I haven't been asked yet, but I'm just trying to figure out, if I am asked that, how do I what should one do? Because it's kind of a enormous task, and it's going to really take me off of my normal job duty.
Important question. I'm just pointing out, I could be totally incorrect. That's why I'm asking. You're the expert on your work situation. You said you had a non-white supervisor before. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay. Was this person in charge during that time period when you all had this accumulation of 5 years of, I guess, just throwing stuff back here in this area?
Sorry, I don't mean to laugh. It's serious. He was in charge for like a year, and I've called in before. This was the black boss that I told you about, who they would go to like Hooters and all these inappropriate places in the city truck, and they eventually pushed him out. But yes, he was there for like a year, and then he recently retired in December.
Hooters leading to retirement for a black male. I'm so surprised. Sobriety would be best under conditions of white supremacy and no Hooters. So it sounds like if it's like 5-6 years of accumulation, this was going on even before he was in this capacity, or am I wrong?
That's correct.
Okay.
That's correct.
Okay. So if we got a lot of white shiftlessness going on where they're not doing their job, and now all this is going to be dumped on you, you could maybe take a few days and see. Maybe you could start with the first question, right? With this task, I think, has been incorrectly assigned to me. This is, you know, beyond my skill set. And they'd be like, oh, okay, yeah, my bad. Sorry about that. And they'll go reassign it correctly. If you can see if this person is reasonable about things, you could draft a letter and state exactly what you just explained to us, that for about 5 years, maybe even longer, I would say longer than that. It's been, you know, close to a decade. I've been working here and we have not been following protocol with regards to however you're supposed to dispose of or catalog and properly store these electronics. That hasn't been done for years. And if we try to give one person this assignment, like it's such a backlog, it's going to, you know, swamp them. We're going to have to figure out a way and maybe get a team of people together, get a group of people that are tasked to go in and do this over a period of time, maybe devoting, you know, a certain amount of time each week or whatever it is to go through this. But I mean, it's years of work. So this is something that's going to be beyond probably one person and beyond even a right. weekend or 3 months, maybe even to get all of this done. So yeah, that's what I would think. Maybe
I'm sorry, I don't want to overtalk you.
Oh, proceed. Let's hear it.
Oh, no, I was saying you're correct. And see, I'm new to the department. I've been there like a year, but prior to me being there, you're right when you say it's been like a probably like a bit, like 10 years worth of stuff. And it's just sitting there. And because this department didn't have oversight or anyone really monitoring what was going on, you know, it's kind of led to this. So I just kind of feel like me being new in that role, I what you're telling me is exactly the right way I need to handle it. I'm just fearful of, you know, sometimes they take that as being insubordinate, regardless of how respectful, you know, you are to them.
For sure. I am almost daily accused of being insubordinate and disrespectful to somebody or multiple somebodies. That's why I love being able to stay in the question lane. You can ask, you know, is it possible that whatever you think would be the best remedy, getting a team of people together to try to go through and correctly catalog all of these items and, you know, store them correctly, whatever you think the correct remedy is, to put that in the form of a question. Do you think that this is something we should try to formulate a plan on how we're going to address? Do you think it would be appropriate to maybe get a team of people, because it's probably going to be beyond the capacity of one employee to try to tackle this problem? You could put that in the form of a question, too. And, you know, if they say no, I don't think so. OK, you ask, then you got your answer. But I mean, if it's the monstrous mess that you say it is, you know, if they're serious about trying to get things done, doing things in a correct manner, like, oh, and if this is some connection to the city, like, oh, man, like some other people might have a vested interest in seeing this, you know, resolved correctly and making sure people don't get accused of some sort of impropriety, that type of thing. So, we'll see. Let's see if any of our other folks who are with us, do you all have a suggest? I guess either one, right? So given the assignment that is beyond her skill set, her qualifications and duties, is there a better approach about that other than just pointing out, hey, I think this is not my assignment. Maybe someone else is supposed to do this. And then we've got like white laziness, like a decade of white laziness here, where shiftless white people have either not done their job or not followed up on the non-white people who are supposed to be doing this job. Either way, white people are most to blame. 10 years of no work. She wants to make sure that she doesn't get stuck with having to go do this by herself. Any suggestions on what might be the best way of getting this resolved, where maybe she can get help, or even maybe she doesn't have to do it at all? Folks still thinking about it. I think the first one, at least, I think that one, if this white fella is reasonable, I guess we'll have to see with that one, being direct about it and just, you know, I think someone else is supposed to knock out this assignment. And then after we can see how the response, all that, maybe give another day or two, and then that'll give you time to see, like, okay, we can draft a letter and raise some questions to kind of see what would be the best way to go about it. Cause I would, cause that seems like the type of thing that happens to a lot of black people, where they'll be like, oh yeah, we'll just dump that off on her, laugh her, you know, waste her 2021, trying to go through and get all this stuff cleaned up. Like, yeah, I would, preemptive strike. Let me double check. Any of our listeners, any thoughts, how you would deal with this? What's the best way, not creating any new problems? they might still be thinking about. Oh, there's a retired firefighter in Florida. Yes, sir.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I didn't get a chance to hear the report on what the lady was talking about because I had a phone call to attend to. But what was it? It's probably too long. It's probably too long to ask about what the issue is. But
I think the second one is if there's just a lot of work. It's like a decade of work that's not been done, and she wants to make sure that she doesn't get stuck having to do all this work by herself. So we were going to try to see if there are any suggestions on how she might go about addressing this issue so that she doesn't get stuck, so that either she can get some help in a plan about getting this work done so that it just doesn't become an enormous burden that is just hers alone.
I would say some sort of something in a written form should be done, for one thing. And then backed up by some means of talking directly to someone in the company about that very issue. And don't mention it as a complaint. Mention it as a not a complaint. A concern for the betterment of the company itself. It's best to have more than just me doing this, you know, or not me, but just it's better than just one person doing this task. It'd be better for the company itself. It'd be more proficient. You know, for the company that there's multiple people working on this project as opposed to one person, you know, that sort of thing. I would fashion it like that.
Okay. I'll definitely do that, retired firefighter. And I don't know if you were able to, you probably didn't hear the first question, and I'll be really succinct, but it was basically if you're being asked to do something that's very technical in nature and it is outside of your job, I guess, responsibilities, what is the best way to handle that situation?
Ooh. I definitely would state that what you just talked about. You know, that you look at it from the best possible means for the company itself, that it has to be a person or people on this task that knows a lot more than what I know on this subject matter. I don't mind participating on it, but I would need to have somebody along with me or somebody's along with me that has that's much more versed on this subject matter, you know, that sort of thing. That would get them to say, you know, the correspondence was actually logical on what this employee is talking about. And because they would also think, well, something does go bad and this letter is this known document is in our hands and I'm sure she has a copy, then, you know, this little gesture that we're doing to put this more compounded work on this person may come back on us, by you at least doing that part, that step, taking that step. I would say that it would be important to make sure that you do that at least and follow it up with some sort of direct correspondence with someone in the company that is of that level that can make things happen correctly, you know. So it would be known that, yes, the employee did mention it to us. Yeah.
Okay. And the
language is very important.
A lot of good advice.
I actually got it from Mr. Fuller.
Much obliged, retired firefighter. I would even make sure to not include my name in that letter in terms of the second one, like that this might be beyond my abilities, or this might, you know, consume my capabilities. Like, I would totally take myself out of it. That way, it might even be that someone gets hired or tasked completely other than myself to deal with this, which is great. Like, that's even better. Like, if it ends up being that I have to help a little bit, but it ends up being a whole group of us, so this isn't my task, awesome, I'll take that. If I can write it in a way so that I'm not included, it's like I'm not, like, I'm volunteering, I'm just pointing out that this hasn't been done, and this might be something that we might want to, you know, get a team of people to work on, because it's a decade of accumulation, right? Question form, and see what they say. And then maybe they might hire a whole team of people to do this other than myself. And then they can put that in the file, like, oh man, you're awesome, you brought it to our attention. Like, A plus. And I like too how a retired firefighter, where he said, this is for the betterment of the company. We don't want to get in trouble, do we? Having someone finishing this or doing whatever it is, this electronic device or doing this project, who's not qualified, like, ooh, that could cause us lots of problems. Yes. Following logic. If other folks who dialed in, if you all have any suggestions or if you have your own situation, the number again is 720-716-7300. The code 564-543-pound. Press star, 564-943-pound. That is the code, 564-943-pound. Press star 61 if you would like to participate. Other folks who dialed in, if you have either suggestions for some of the folks we've heard from thus far, or if you have your own situation, proceed. Some of our other folks getting their thoughts together while folks are, I guess some of the folks we have not heard from yet while they're adjusting, getting it together. I will say, I told folks, I think at the beginning of the program, I was able to teach this morning, teach yoga with Dr. Lathan. And as I said, I hadn't even updated my yoga resume or what have you, or even done anything to even go and check out, like, ooh, did they have resources for yoga teachers who teach classes via Zoom? Because that's something that I hadn't even thought about. There wasn't, I mean, there was some of that, but there wasn't a lot of that, like, prior to the Rona. I certainly had never thought about doing any Zoom yoga. It was just, you know, go in person, go to the studio or whatever it is. But I'm sure they have resources to help refine all of that. It's been kind of a whirlwind. I hadn't even had opportunity to do that. But try as you can. Like I said, it's been super disruptive this year for about a billion different reasons. But try as best we can to find ways to enhance, refine, build your brand, your career, even amidst, even amongst all of the terrorism and difficulty of the past 12 months. And man, it has been a challenge in lots and lots of ways, but trying as best we can. I will see if I can do that as well. See, hopefully by the time we get on next week, I will have my yoga resume updated, and then see what resources they have for folks who are teaching via Zoom and all of that. I'm sure it might even be some resources for Black yoga instructors who are teaching via Zoom. I have to look and see if I can find anything. I will report back by next Friday. Yes, hopefully by next Friday I'll have updates on all accounts, and I'll have been able to have taught some more by then as well. Let's see. There's one more. I guess if I had to emphasize the food again, even though I think most of the folks that we've had participating have been in warm climates, lucky folks, man, take that food component seriously. There have been so many folks who have reported weight gain over the past year related to COVID-19 and all the rest of it. Like, man, that is one thing right there. If you're in a work environment, really make sure that if you're going to be there, especially if you're not at home, really make sure that you have quality, healthy foods that you have access to so that you don't have to be reliant on whatever garbage. Because I know we have a few folks. Some folks have said that they had like the gourmet catered food and they were doing the stir fry and all the rest of it. Like, awesome. If you still had that, great. But it doesn't seem like too many folks had that sort of setup. We've heard way more Krispy Kremes and, you know, M&Ms and that type of thing in the work environment. Kit Kats and, you know, Ritz crackers. Make sure that you have access to quality food. You don't want to be fasting in the workplace either. Like, I have done that. In fact, I remember when I worked and I first was starting to transition to being vegetarian and then vegan. And I used to, I would just go to work, eat anything, say Krispy Kreme, yes, Ritz crackers, yes, rah, 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 eat all whatever. And then once it started, wait, blah, 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 blah. Fruits, vegetables, organic fruits, or get like reading the labels, what's in this, like, oh my gosh, like, forget to take my food to work, total suffering. And then it would be suffering, and then watching people eat really bad food all day long and then not having anything to eat, like, do I give in and just eat nonsense or just hang in, be tough, hang in, be tough, hang in? The worst. So I can only emphasize, but for anybody really under any circumstances, but particularly in the bad weather situations and all that, like, pack that lunch. If you have some fruits and things that you can stuff in a bag or whatever, pack it up. Make sure that you have quality snacks and goodies to eat on. You do not want to be stuck in your work environment for one of those 10, or if you have to work a double shift, what I said, being at the vending machine, like, those Ritz crackers are looking pretty good. 10 hours into all of this with another 6 hours to go. I have totally been there. Not cool. Neither are Ritz crackers. Number again is 720-716-7300. The code 564-943-pound. Press *61 if you would like to participate. Let's see. Other folks that we have missed totally. If you have commentary, proceed.
May I be heard?
Caller in Florida. Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. Thank you very much, sir. Greetings to Gus, the host, the listeners and callers. Definitely with the Valentine's Day, a lot more of the drama continues in a sense. And I say that because it seems like they are redirecting their focus on the two other black employees and the on the, as I say, black side, to use, I guess, I don't know, metaphor or figure of speech. The white woman, she went to work to the sheriff's office in December. So, you know, physically, it's more obvious. Whereas three of us on one side, and it's like 10 lighter complected, mostly white people on the other side. And like I mentioned last week, one of the top tier members who people, you know, they like to let her be arrogant and browbeat, I'll use that term, bullying them around. I just went to it because she, like I mentioned, she brought these two oversized decorative items, two giant hearts, and put them on a window of a black female, what they call lead worker. And I went to her and I said, with a sense of courtesy, but I'll see, I was direct and I was sincere. And I say, can you please not do that? Like, don't do that. Like, the way you just went over there and hung that stuff up and walked all in between us, no excuse me or nothing like that, don't do that. And this is the only time I'm telling you. It happens again, going to blank, you know, I named the mister, the clerk. Like, I didn't know it was a problem. And I said, well, I'm just letting you know. Said, okay, okay, you already said it one time or something like that, you know, have a nice day or whatever. So, see, and I knew that they was going to plot the rest of the gang. And, you know, and now it's more extensive because I've been using that term. I've been using the term profile resonance because they're white and female, but mainly they're white. So they practice the greatest form of that. And I asked the supervisor, can I talk to you about something? And she walked away. She said, yes. And she went, like I mentioned, to go get an authentication from, she went to go get the first signature, and I took it up, and I brought it back down. Okay. And the chief deputy, the warden, said that she was going to bring it to me. Now, mind you, the supervisor, the white woman, she didn't come back to announce that she was back to have a conversation. So I'm like, okay. So it's some, you know, manipulation going on. But like I mentioned, I already had addressed it. So I just wanted to just give that context because I think she was being extremely refined in a racism and trying to style it a certain way to control me to pursue her in anger. Because when you're black, you try to address something directly, and you're a black male, you're seen as a monster or, you know, as they like to say, King Kong, or, you know, they got all kind of punchlines and racist comparisons. But I just said, just don't do it again. So she then went and gave her side. They had the door closed over there, and the warden walked over there too. So the black female, she said she thought that in her terms that they were plotting. So I noticed two other clique members that are like, what, yards away from where I'm at. They stopped speaking to me for maybe like a week or two, like just in any way. Like I don't really associate with them in that sense, but just trying to let it be known that, okay, I'm diverting my attention away from you. Even if I'm trying to get mail, you know, or envelopes next to where they are. But I noticed that they were trying to do that same thing as well, do is what they call bait me into doing, and more so becoming emotional, all right, and enraged, where they can utilize that against me. And this led to a black female becoming upset with another black female that is in association with the warden, who has taken the situation out of context and tried to say that I balled up the hearts. But that's not what happened. You see what I'm saying? She didn't tell the context. She wasn't being truthful about what happened. But along with that, she went and posted, and I screenshot this. She posted a comment where it has a black silhouette holding a heart. And it says, I love you like a back alley hooker loves crack. Happy Valentine's Day. So this that same person that I had addressed last week. And it leads up to today, where after we have refused the decorations, I think the confused victim, she comes in and I overhear her use the comment or the remark, "Why nobody text me? Nobody sent me the memo." That's a line of where they use the where they don't wear the same colors. So they wore the colors red to, that's an association with Valentine's Day. So the white women wore red and or pink. All right. So she was confused as to why they why they left her out. But see, I don't say nothing. You know, I sit back and I watch and I take notes and I document. They lumped her in with me because we're black. Okay. We're both black. Even though she goes over there to the other side to speak with them and talk and try to socialize, because they try to show, they put on a, let's say, a better performance. I just use that metaphor, like that's in the Joe Feagin book. They show on the surface more cordial behavior toward black people, and they are able to fool them better with that. So she was kind of confused as to why they didn't text her. So that goes to show you that they're still talking on the phone with each other, unjust networking, of course. And I think they did this to respond and practice racism to when we refused to get the hearts over there. So I think there was, they like to use the term petty or whatever. And I have two more I want to share. And speaking of the term petty, there was the same black female. She was speaking with a member of the clique. She was showing her something on the phone, cell phone. And this white person, I'm going to just classify her as white. She says to the black female, "Welcome to the dark side." So I think the black female saw something was interesting about that. And she turns around and goes back to the white person and says, "No, welcome to the petty side." So I wrote that one down because what that's saying is, using that term dark, she just made it synonymous with what? Petty? Being petty. So I don't know if she was showing us some kind of feature on the phone or something to talk about somebody. I don't know. But I don't think it was something constructive. And my last one is, there was the victim got an email from the supervisor, and I just saw her become very angry, and she started punching her pounding her hand with her fist. So she got up and walked out of the department, and she came back 15 minutes later, and she was like, "Yeah, I need to take a break or whatever." So I think that was like an attempt to try to get her angry. And they may be trying to target her to get her terminated, do something racist. So I'm just going to continue to sit back and watch, and I'll be back to report with more. And thank you for allowing me to share.
Much obliged, caller in Florida. That is so disgraceful. Like, to just be like hounding and harassing an employee to that point where they're so upset that they're pounding their fist and have to get up and walk away from the desk. Like, that's disgraceful. And we talked about for years how racists in a work environment, they will often deliberately do things to upset you, to provoke you, to get you angry, to get you enraged. They will try to do those type of things. So, and Even though, that's terrible to have to think that's the work environment that you're in. And that's probably not the first time that she's had to read an email like that or whatever it is. But I guess the one saving grace, he didn't say that she got up and went and cursed somebody out. He didn't even say that she went to the vending machine and got a whole bunch of chocolate and potato chips or what have you to eat. He says she went up. She took a break, took some breaths, came back, got herself together, and said, I'm going to need a break. Sometimes just recognizing, man, they have really gotten to me today. I don't have the patience. I'm going to need some time to replenish, recuperate. That is important. All of these incidents, they do have an impact on our health and well-being. It's really important to recognize that. And with the past year that many of us have had, many of us probably don't have the same reserves, the same patience that we would under normal circumstances, because we've been under prolonged stress, so many of us, for such a long time, that might not have the normal patience. We might not be as resilient as we normally would in dealing with this type of thing. So I definitely give her high commendations for just being able to say, hey, I'm going to need some time away from the Click members. Like, wow, they have really gotten to me on this Friday. I'm going to take some time off and, you know, come back and get back at it. And I mean, we just heard it just seemed like lots of that. Like, I don't even know. We don't even know what they did to this victim, this poor black woman here. They had even the tackiness with the shirts, I think he said, or design or whatever it was, the I love you like a back alley fiend loves crack or whatever it is. Like, how do we get back to crack for Valentine's Day? Do they give out crack? I thought it was chocolate. I never heard of any association with crack cocaine and Cupid. Like, always coming with the black silhouette. No less. Like, that's my opinion. That's the what do they call that? I forget. They have a passive aggressive. I feel like that's really passive aggressive. That type of thing. After she's gonna throw her tantrum that, oh, you balled up my hearts. No count black people. I'm just trying to celebrate Valentine's Day with you. And no count O.J. Simpson's. Just go out and throw everything away. Like, wait a minute. I didn't even ball up the hearts. I just asked if you could kindly not place the decorations up. Like, where did we get to destruction of property? Like, it's always got to be that's when you have to watch in the workplace. Like, you'll get those escalations where all you said was no thank you. And it'll be like, oh my goodness, he cursed me out and yelled at the whole staff and called me. I just said no thank you. Like, what are you talking about? Like, you almost have to have a witness to verify. Like, all that was said was no thank you. No ornaments were destroyed. Nothing was ripped off the wall. Like, please, let's be truthful about things. And the white person playing the victim, we just heard that yesterday. White person playing the victim, where they come and get to encroach on the area where you are supposed to work. And they can come and, oh, let me molest this area. Let me put some little decorations up for you. Well, I don't really want to. Oh, my God. Been mistreated. He's called me names. I'm a victim of Negro aggression. Like, they are so good at that. Like, you really have to almost be, you know, that's why I said before, like, some people have trepidation about saying no to a white person in the workplace. Can be costly. Let's see. We got. And then he goes to go chat with the supervisor. She says, oh, well, give me a second. And then she doesn't come back. That type of thing. I think lots of folks have seen this before, where you're supposed to converse with a white person or whatever the arrangement is, whatever the agreement is. And then they don't follow through. Another one, like I said, where they do things to try to needle you, just try and see if they can get you all riled up and I'm not going to take it, and cursing someone out and yelling, going through the hallway. Like, they will do lots of things to try to provoke that sort of response. You really have to be with the black female. She got up excuse yourself. Like I said, you can go to the restroom. I guess down in Florida, you can go outside. It's 70 degrees or 80 degrees. Go outside, take a stroll, get some water, come back in composed. You continue, but really be mindful when, you know, they're trying to lull us into some of those, you know, I'm going to get mad. She didn't come back and talk to me and no count. Who do you think you are? That type of thing. Like, they love it. They can do, especially to have some black male yelling and raving about a white woman. Yeah. Like, oh, a rental. James Simpson is on the loose. Someone call 911 right now. Let's see. The welcome to the dark side. Like, I don't know what their context was in that. That's in the word guide, all of that dark side and dark day and dark cloud. But dark side, and she says the petty side. Like, like, I don't know the context, but that does not, that is, would not make me think of an improvement. Like, if you're talking about the segregated section of the courthouse, if this is not the dark side, no, this is definitely not the petty side. It's no kind of, yeah, I would definitely want to know the context, but I mean, man, words are super important. It even sounds like, obviously I wasn't there. I didn't see it. I'm just going by, you know, what he shared, but it even sounds like this black female victim, she might have recognized that it was something, you know, incorrect about this white woman talking about the dark side. It sounds like she might have, something in her brain computer might have picked that out, like, dark side. And then she went for the substitute. But when you're confused about racism, white supremacy, sometimes we don't have the best replacement. We're not processing things completely accurately. And again, that's just, I'm totally speculating. I could be totally wrong. That might not be what it is at all. Like, I don't even know what they're talking about in all this, like what all this is referring to. But it just, I get that impression. Sometimes we are trying to stumble in the correction of trying to figure out what is going on. She just said something. I think she might have just practiced racism. Dark side. What is she talking about? Like, I remember having those type of moments when I was, you know, more confused. Still have those moments sometimes. Much obliged.
Can I share something?
Yes, sir.
It's really fun.
Yes, sir.
You are very accurate on that, because I picked that up when she was walking in front of me and she turned back around and went all the way back to where she was seated. It's like, no, I'm going to refuse. Like, I'm going to refuse the term dark, you know, dark side. And she just replaced it and used petty. And then she added, well, you're on a whole different level of pettiness or something like that. And she can get kind of like creative with language, because she also used some kind of a joke, I guess. And she said across the room to another member, you can't spell slaughter without laughter. And it sounded like they was talking about chickens on a farm or something violent. So, you know, she started giggling and stuff. So they like to do types of wordplay like that. So I wanted to share that one too. And one last thing about the white woman not coming back to speak. She saw me and physically walked past me, but didn't say anything, but sent me an email about wanting to talk. So I was like, I responded and I said, I'm good. You know, I kept it short. And she replied, and she was like, well, you know, I came to your desk 2 times and you were gone. And if you have anything on your mind, you could speak with, she named the black lead worker that she totally disregards. You can speak to her and myself. She put herself last. So that was extremely racist, because she doesn't, like I said, she doesn't value this black female. Because when I call, for instance, if I call her extension, the voicemail is her saying she's not available. And if there's an emergency, you could call back and speak to another white woman. She names her. And then a second white woman that's not even a manager. So definitely racism widespread. And that's it. That's all I want to share.
That was my speculation. Like, I'm speaking from my own experience. Like, when you are stumbling and fumbling, like, I feel like your brain computer is trying to connect the dots about, you know, what is happening, what people are saying around you. We're trying to connect the dots. Like, what does this all mean? What is this all related to? But it's difficult because we have so much, you know, lies and people trying to discourage us from doing this. But we are trying to figure it out, I think. And it just takes a little push in the correct direction, being accurate about words, being accurate with ourselves about what it is that we're seeing, what's happening to us. But yeah, stumbling in that direction. And then the tackiness for this white woman who probably has all kinds of power to affect hiring and the budget and, you know, maybe scheduling, who knows, who's staffed on the dark side and who is on the lighter side where the white and, you know, maybe non-black or less melanated employees are seated. She says, well, I stopped by repeatedly looking for you and I couldn't find you. But if you should have any further problems, we have a kindly Negra employee and you can check in with her. Now, what is she in charge of? What am I going to go and remedy with her? Go tell her my troubles for her to say, oh, man, I'm sure sad that happened to you. We'll wait until one of these powerful white women, the warden or someone, we'll wait till they come in and see what we can do about this here. Well, I could have just waited. Why not even talk to you for like wasting my they'll do. Watch that. They will do that deliberately, try and send you off talking to somebody who they know this is not going to help him at all. Just waste some more of his time. And if anything, they'll report back to us and tell us what he said, but it's not going to solve any of his problems. Like I'm saying, this person doesn't even have voicemail. We don't even get, she probably doesn't even give her the password to change your own voice, but I'll do that. We don't trust niggers with voicemail passwords in the state of Florida. Context of white supremacy. Much obliged, caller in Florida. We got lots of warm weather callers for the day. They threatened snow in Seattle. I was stunned. I was just saying that we're not going to get any snow at all, because normally in Seattle, if it hasn't snowed by like February, not going to snow. Generally, almost I'd say by January, it's not even too often that we have like a late February or early March snow. That is not too often. But they're saying we might have a half a foot of snow this weekend. Like, stunning. That never happens in Seattle. But thus far, typical day, no snow. Number again is 720-716-7300. The code 564-943-pound. Press *61. If you would like to participate, we will be here on Saturday, the compensatory call in 9 p.m. Eastern, 8 p.m. Central, 7 p.m. Pacific. We will catch up on what has transpired the last 7 days, the impeachment cowbell. I cannot believe it. Like, man, first time. Last time, probably have to see if I can check in with Renethia Tate, seeing what happened with the white ogre, suspected race soldier, former Seattle Seahawks player who was arrested and all kinds of crap. Oh, matter of fact, if I could pause, we have our caller at 9192, coming right to your line. But we had, I forgot who it was, they brought up the Super Bowl last week. They mentioned Britt Reid, white male, suspected racist. And they said, man, this guy was driving under the influence, apparently. He admitted to enforcement officials that he had, you know, several drinks, alcoholic beverages. Sobriety would be best. And he gets into a car accident and he hits not one but two vehicles. And has a 5-year-old non-white child in the hospital with life-threatening injuries. He didn't get fired. They allowed his contract to expire. I started checking the news. This happened twice. I have to tell you the other way that this happened. tomorrow on the compensatory call-in, a news report that I have been following for, you know, a while, one of them a week, one of them a little less longer, but I've been following almost since the moment that they happened. But I was reading about these reports, and so I didn't get to see video. I didn't get to see pictures of the victims to find out that, oh, wow, this is a white person who harmed a non-white person in addition to this being, you know, really terrible and all the rest of it. But Britt Reed, he hits this non-white child, almost kills her and another family member. He doesn't even get fired. And to my knowledge, he hasn't even been charged thus far. They have contracts. Imagine if it had been, insert name, Patrick Mahomes, LeBron James, insert, I don't care how popular the athlete, O.J. Simpson, insert name. This here fella, black male, professional athlete, goes out, gets drunk, hits two cars, and has a white five-year-old child in the hospital with near fatal injuries. Are you telling me he hasn't been arrested? Are you telling me that whatever team, you don't think the Lakers are going to fire LeBron James? His contract is voided today. Bang. You are out of here. I'm trying to think back with the Kobe Bryant. Now, they did not void his contract, but he didn't admit to any guilt. He said he didn't rape anybody or what have you. So that was contested, went to court, and then the charges got dropped. This is not that situation. Britt Reed admitted, oh, yeah, I had some drinks and I hit that car. Get out of here. White people don't get fired even when they almost kill. What did I say? They for sure do not care about children, but white people do not get fired. Sometimes they don't even get transferred. Like I said, they just allowed his contract to expire. So theoretically, he could clean up his act, get all this done, and just move forward. I'm just a white man who's looking for a second chance. We all have a little problem with, you know, the sauce from time to time. Disgrace.
Can I be heard?
He's had multiple problems. Yes, sir, but we have people who missed totally. We'll swing back for retired firefighter. 9192, we missed you totally. Did you have commentary to share?
Hi, yes. This is Golden from Ohio. Can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am. We can hear you.
Okay, great. I called to follow up from my letter to my workplace from 3 weeks ago, where I made a verbal complaint to the hotline and then a written submission. When I went to work the following Monday, I had a teleconference set up by someone from I forget what the exact name of the employee team is that is addressing COVID concerns. And I had that scheduled for Friday 2 weeks ago. Well, when I go in Monday, I see this, and someone doesn't report to work, and they happen to be in my area. So, red flag, it's like, is this a COVID incident? And this was one of the people that I had specifically complained about in, you know, not adhering to the protocols and, you know, just doing whatever they want to do. Well, she calls in and she's texting one of the ladies next to me and saying like, oh, I just have a real bad sinus headache and I don't have COVID or anything. But for some reason, they tell her to still go take a test and that she can't come back to work. Well, Tuesday, still no person. And we're just waiting to see if she tests positive. I come into work Wednesday, ghost town. I'm the only one in there. So as soon as I don't see this lady or the lady who sits directly between us, I think, why am I here? The manager comes in, doesn't say anything to me, and just kind of walks around. And then he comes up later, and this is like 4 hours I've been there. And he's like, oh, what's it looking like up here? Knowing that I'm the only person in the area, and of course I'm only going to do the work of one person, not three or four people. So he says, what's it looking like? And I respond, I said, it's looking like maybe I'm supposed to go take a COVID test today. And he looks at me real strange, like, why would you say that? And I said, I think if someone here is positive, and I'm not asking you to confirm this, but if they're here, positive here, then I need to go get tested because I've been exposed. Well, he sets up this meeting. He's like, do you want to talk to the operations manager? Because I made him real nervous when I said all this. And I said, yes, I would love to. I've been waiting to speak to both of you. So the operations manager's on a phone call, and once she's off, I go to her office with him. He's like, well, we can go over there and talk to her. So I have a 45-minute or so meeting, you know, just discussing what was going on and basically getting all these details as far as, and then keep in mind, this is after I've written my letter, and I'm asking her to explain, okay, now what does the company do with COVID, and how are we notified, and how do we handle being tested and being off? So I'm asking all these pointed questions, and at this point, she still has, she or he has no idea that I've spoken. And after they tell me all this stuff, I said, well, you know, these are some of the concerns that I've brought up to the on-site team, and I'll be following up with them on Friday. And they're like, huh? So I guess that struck them out of the blue that I was going to do that. Well, come to find out, 2 days, the other people were told to stay off work, and I was asking confirmation, so how do you notify people? And they just keep going back to the standard CDC guidelines, say XYZ, XYZ. And so if you're not notified, then you're not considered infected, or, you know, they'll notify you. Well, Friday I have my teleconference. I follow up with the HR and then tell them about my meeting with the operations manager and the my direct manager. And, I mean, I basically tell them that for the most part, management isn't on the floor. Management stays retreated to their offices where they're safe. And, you know, can be mask-free and close the doors or whatever. And people are just out doing whatever they want. So there's no enforcement, which is what I told them. Well, to assuage that, right before my meeting was scheduled, the manager gets everybody in the department and starts talking to people one-on-one about wearing your face mask and don't go up to people, everything basically that was bullet pointed in my example. And so he talked to everyone in my department and the departments on either side of me. Fine, follow up, and I give the lady some names, some examples. I spend a lot of time being very direct and detailed, and I tell her I name names. And I give specific instances and all this. Well, Friday after work, I decide to go get tested, and I am COVID positive. So I call back and let the operations manager know, okay, well, I did test positive. And everyone's just kind of dumbfounded. I've been at home, got the calls from the health department, applied through our long-term disability and, well, short-term disability, leave of absence, so FMLA, got all that paperwork. And I'm out, well, I go back the 16th because Monday will be a holiday. And, so I've been home for the past 2 weeks and got a few more days. And I did get some more information, and then I did also tell the health department, how are you tracking and enforcing workplaces, and are you keeping, well, I was told that they keep a spreadsheet and they, you know, kind of interlace the cases and do all that. But I also reported to the health department that there's inconsistency and noncompliance at the, you know, work site that I'm at, and that I think they should probably look into that. And what I did find out is that there's a lot of inconsistency in what they tell people. There is no standard as far as when they tell someone to be off work. Some people are told to stay off 3 days, and if you don't have any symptoms, come back. Well, we all know there's asymptomatic. I was asymptomatic, and I tested because I knew for a fact the person who was out is just all over the place, and they do not wear masks. So, and it turns out that I did contract it from them. But the operations manager was very adamant to say that my job has had no tracebacks of COVID occurring in the workplace. Well, I reported mine as a workers' comp and that I did, in fact, contract it at work. It was approved, and that is that. I hang up now.
Wow, that is what a disgrace. I would be furious. I would be absolutely furious because she had such a detailed report about it was just like flagrant noncompliance, like mocking people for wearing masks and observing the regulations, like going outside to talk with no mask on and congregate in crowds and laugh and guffaw and touch everybody and ha ha and all. I mean, that's like a whole little vector right there. That sounds like she's working with super spreaders. Like, we just go and infect the whole building. And then, oh, what? COVID test? What do you mean? COVID test? Why? Who needs a COVID test around here? I would be fit to be tied. And it seems like that has been widespread. People in work environments where their coworkers have behaved like this, not taking it serious, people getting sick, and oh, well. I'm so glad that you got workers' compensation and have documented their just flagrant lack of regard for the health and safety of everyone. And I think that's at least the second time where we've had that, where we've had people in work environments where it seems like upper level management, probably white people, they're like back hidden either at home entirely, or they're, you know, way back behind all these barricades and not out with all of you all. And it's like, oh, yes, there's a problem on the floor. Maybe people aren't wearing masks or whatever, where it's not impacting them. I think it was Irie. She said she went to try to get medical help. And then it was, what are you doing back here? We don't just allow anyone back here. Like, you all have, you know, contamination problems out there. Like, what a disgrace. I cannot emphasize that enough. I'm glad you've been at home safely the last few weeks. I'm glad you said you were asymptomatic, and so it hasn't been like a traumatic health experience for you. But I mean, man, like, to have to be in a work environment where I'm going to have to compromise my health just because I work with racists and buffoons who don't want to take this serious. And they want to make fun and joke and mock people for trying to take it seriously, following the regulator. Nah, I don't want to do that. want to run around and touch everybody. I wouldn't even want to go back to work. Like, Jesus, I'd be like, let me work from home, anything. Like, man, to have you all there probably still doing the exact same thing, like running around, not being safe, touching everything, not washing your hands. Like, man, how are you feeling about going back into this work environment?
I'm glad you did bring that up. I had that in my notes and didn't mention it. I was informed that since I had tested positive and quarantined, that if I'm exposed within the next 90 days or not, they won't notify me again to quarantine. So I think a lot of people, the reason they don't go get tested is because they don't want to miss work, and I think they've been taking a lot of people's time. I'll see when I go back. I'm not sure how, you know, where the pay will come from, but it should come from the workers' comp claim since it was approved. But they've taken a lot of people's vacation. We're in January, and people have no vacation and no sick time left. And we're like, this is no fault of our own to be, you know, having to sequester for 10 or so days. So how is it I've got to work the next 10 months without anything but a paid holiday off? So they're trying to figure that out, and I'm going to be vocal about that again. But, yeah, even though there's new strains out and something else can happen, they will not notify me since I've been off in 90 days. They don't expect me to take another COVID-related absence.
Because they're taking it so seriously and following all the protocols, they think everyone's health and safety will be fine till the spring, I guess. What a disgrace. Man, I guess, yeah, I would find out since your workers come. Well, maybe lone bit of constructive details, and I guess that you were asymptomatic, I guess two bits. But yeah, if your workers' comp was approved, hopefully that will be how you'll be compensated so you can save some of that sick time and everything. But man, I just, same thing like we kind of started with the so-called essential employees, like from heroes to zeros, and then we can't even, you know, abide by a health and safety policy to take it serious, even when we seem to be having a major problem. We might even be considered a super spreader, and we're still not even taking it serious to maintain health and safety. Like, what a disgrace. Retired firefighter in Florida, I said I was going to circle back to you. Thank you so much to our caller in Ohio. Like, man, take your health and safety serious. If you do not, anything could happen to you. Jeez. Retired firefighter Jeff, comment before we get ready to wrap up.
Oh, it was going to be something about Andy Reid and his staff, but after the Super Bowl, but it wouldn't have been accurate anyway. I don't know why it was in my mind that they actually won the game, but they didn't. Of course, they lost. No, I don't have anything to report.
Right on, right on. We did our 3 hours. We will be here tomorrow's for the compensatory call-in, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific. We will catch up on news reports from the last 7 days. See if folks have any suggestions, thoughts, observations to share. Much obliged for the folks who participated. Man, prioritize your health and safety. That is what we just heard from Golden in Ohio. That is so common where we have folks Lots of white people, it seems, who are not taking this seriously and deliberately messing around in the workplace, and I'm not following these guidelines and what have you. Like, take it seriously, like, really, because white people clearly do not care about the health and well-being of black people. That is on display all the time. So you have to be in charge of your health. No ifs, ands, or buts. All of that said, sobriety would be best under conditions of white supremacy. We heard about the black coworker who had the problem going to Hooters. Sure, they were not drinking ginger ale, cranberry juice. Sobriety would be best even in the work, or especially I'll say in the workplace. No drinking with coworkers on or off the job. In addition, I'd still say hunker down. Dangerous 2021 continues. If you got to go out, be alert, aware of your surroundings. If it seems like there are hostile folks in the area, exit. It is not a time for verbal confrontations with strangers. You should assume if it is a white person or even a non-white person, this person could likely be armed. In fact, he might have a whole cadre, a militia, if you will, waiting to hop out and do all kinds of lethal harm. If you didn't leave your residence prepared for mortal combat, no verbal altercations. We are very risk averse in 2021. If you gotta go out, again, it's super serious, something important, sober passenger or driver, you are buckled. If you are driving, you are not on the cell phone. We need all of our attention. Be mindful of what's happening around us. And then two, we're trying to minimize contact with race soldiers, badge or no. Just doing the small things that we can do. Not being on the phone, being buckled up, being sober. Just small things that we can control, trying to make, you know, somewhat of a difference in being safe. That's it. Creator, we ask that you help us remain patient with other black people, victims of white supremacy. We ask that you help us remain patient with ourselves. Remind us to demonstrate the highest levels of black self-respect at all times, in all places, each and every time we are in contact with another black person. It has been time. Replace white supremacy with justice immediately. Cow signing out. Thanks all for tuning in.
Nigga, you so brainwashed.
I'm a victim,
your
brother.
Problem. You're a victim.
I'm a victim of 400 years of conditioning.
Shut up.
The man has programmed my condition.
Mm-hmm.
Even my conditioning has been conditioned.